Workers, your safety reminder. Even when workers aren't present, you still need to slow down. Construction areas are dangerous for all drivers all the time. For your own sake, obey posted speed limits. Photo enforcement vans are now in use. Break the law and you will be fined. Keep everyone alive. Drive 45. A message from the Illinois Department of Transportation.
It's a scorching hot day. Imagine being trapped in a parked car. The temperature inside is rising. Now imagine that you're wearing a fur coat. Leaving your dog in a hot car is not only uncomfortable, it's dangerous. If it's too hot for you, it's far worse for him because, unlike us, he can't perspire to cool down. And within minutes, the temperature, even with the windows down a little, can exceed 100 degrees. So on warm days, please be kind. Leave your dog safely at home.
For more information, contact PETA, 757-622-PETA.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Brothers,
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about, huh? I talked to my father over the weekend. He was talking about the heat wave in California. He lives on the West Coast. He said it was so hot in California that almonds were cooking in their shells. Almonds were cooking in their shells. More than 60% of the United States has abnormally dry or drought conditions, stretching from Georgia to Arizona to the Dakotas to Minnesota to Montana and Wisconsin. The area stretching from South Central North Dakota to Central South Dakota is the most drought-stricken region in the nation. Some ranchers have been forced to sell their entire herds. Others are moving cattle to greener pastures. These 100 degree days are killing us, you think? As we face another 100 degree day today. Farm ponds and small bodies of water have dried up, and it's getting worse, because we're also being told, you know what, better get used to killer heat waves. For the month of August, the United States will see above normal temperatures. Ain't no global warming, right? Ain't no such thing, says the former cheerleader F student. Ain't no such thing. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
The Republican / health care coverage impacting over 100,000 Missourians. As a member of the powerful budget committee, I work to restore those cuts. Many are still affected and don't have health care coverage. As your next state senator, I will continue to fight and be a strong voice for all the residents of the 4th Senatorial District. Tuesday, August the 8th, punch number 26 to vote for me, Amber Holly Boykins, an experienced leader who has a record of achievement as your state representative and the proven leadership we need in your next state senator.
Paid for by friends of Amber H. Boykins, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
We're your co-hosts for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
Every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 p.m.
Tune us in for thought-provoking and challenging conversation.
That's right. Count on informative dialogue, guaranteed controversy between George and I, and even a little humor.
That's right. Real Deal with George and Syl. Every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Tune us in. Spread the word, and we guarantee you'll love the show. See you then.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Everything will be all right.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax chat if you want to. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I have to see it myself. Apparently, things are not going well for Joe Lieberman. Apparently, things are not going well, and I have to say I find that good news. I'm looking at a picture of Maxine Waters in Connecticut, apparently stumping for Ned Lamont, because he's right there with her. And it's my my understanding that the New York Times, instead of endorsing Lieberman, is endorsing Ned Lamont. That doesn't sound very good. That doesn't sound hopeful for Ned Lamont. If, in case you don't know who Ned Lamont is, and I suspect if you're listening to my show, you have some, at least a passing understanding of who Joe Lieberman is. Ned Lamont is the Democrat who's challenging Joe Lieberman on the issue of the war and his closeness and the whole idea of slipping, of staying in the middle and being in the middle. Ned Lamont is kicking Joe Lieberman's George Bush kissing rump out of nowhere, it seems, that Ned Lamont seems to be crystallizing the whole idea of why this war is wrong, why we should be taking a position to get out now, instead of stay the course and defend George Bush. It's an amazing world that we live in. We were right. And August 8th is going to tell the tale of how right we were. We are. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. WGNU. And as we understand where the public sentiment is going with Ned Lamont, we have to also understand where the public sentiment is going with the United States, this administration. As much as, I mean, everywhere I go, I don't see the support our troops, and this is anecdotal, but I don't see the support our troops. Magnets. And I don't think it's because people are opposed to soldiers. They never have been. They never have been. They've been opposed to policies. So what I believe that this whole absence of disappearance of these metals, I mean these magnets, really just demonstrates just that people are just tired of this war. But just in case you just, or just when you thought you were getting tired of it, you need to know that those that are opposed to your issues never get tired. The Bush administration spelled out plans on Friday for $4.6 billion of arms sales to Arab states, including battle tanks worth as much as $2.9 billion. The United States is also supplying Israel with $210 million in aviation fuel to keep peace and security in the air and the region. Peace by bomb. Peace by bomb. Know that the United States rushed a delivery of precision-guided bombs requested by Israel 17 days ago. I wonder if those are the same bombs that killed the UN peace worker. In the newly proposed sales to the Arab state, there are Black Hawk helicopter gunships worth $808 million. $400 million to Saudi Arabia. Bahrain would get $252 million worth of Black Hawk helicopters. Jordan would get $156 million in upgrades to 1,000 of its armored personnel carriers. Huh. Peace through bombs. Notices of proposed United States arms sales are required by law once they top a certain value threshold. They do not mean that the sale has been concluded. Congress can stop them if they want to, huh? Huh. Is there a reason why it's so hot outside? You think it has something to do? Maybe it's because the world is on fire. That's why it's so hot outside. Maybe it's because the world is on fire. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by Office Depot. The I-70 reversible lanes are now open to westbound traffic only. Eastbound is closed due to damage to the gate. Westbound 40 at Boone Bridge is an object in the roadway believed to be large debris in the center lane. Use caution there. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and 170. Everything's flowing freely. Northbound 270, 44 is on the move. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 to the Canal Bridge. Look for some delays. And westbound 270 at 367 and 170 looks good. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you're already seeing some delays there. That's basically due to the fact westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, paving operations has reduced it to two lanes. And it's backed up through the 64 merge at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Office Depot. Now at Office Depot, a 10-pack of Office Depot pens or a 12-pack of pencils, just 19 cents, and composition books are two for $1. Office Depot, taking care of business while supplies last, quantities are limited. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday, an excessive heat warning is in effect until Wednesday evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy today, very hot, high around 100. This evening, clear, warm with a low around 80. Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much the same, very hot both days. Partly cloudy both days, and the highs will be in the 100s both days. Currently, we have 83 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th for Kenneth Jones for state senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margot Deloche, treasurer.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Wake Up, the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. And do not forget that this Saturday, I will be on a panel at the Missouri Black Expo at the Americas Center. I will be on a panel entitled Black America Today. This is a discussion presented by the UMSL Lecture Series at the Black Expo. I will also be on the panel with Reverend Lowry. You remember Reverend Lowry? He's the one that challenged George Bush to his face at the funeral of Coretta Scott King. He will be there. Also, Dr. Valerie Walker will be there. It will be a discussion on the issues that are confronting our community. It will be a very, very, very interesting and lively discussion. That is this Saturday from at 6:30, from 3:30 to 6:30. You don't want to miss that Black Expo this Saturday from 3:30 to 6:30. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. I feel, it just feels like a weather day. Today feels like a day where we're going to be addressing. We need to know that day we feel it feels like we should be addressing the weather. I was part of that select group of people over the weekend that also had my electricity off again. My electricity was on for one day, a day and a half, and then it went off again on Saturday. Which brings me to these heat-related issues of why so many people's electricity has gone out and stayed out. And I couldn't help but wonder when we had that storm on Saturday, that little blow-through storm on Saturday, a lot of folks look toward the heaven. They look at storms a little bit differently now, like, Lord, is my electricity going to go out again? I believe that a lot of people have come to appreciate their homes a little differently. And I believe that this is a wake-up call as we look at these rolling heat waves going across our country. Folks need to get prepared. Y2K was fake. This ain't. Folks need to get prepared out here. New data from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers confirms fear that hurricanes and tropical storms could flood some neighborhoods up to 5 feet when new floodgates are closed at the mouths for 3 major drainage canals. Huh. Data that was released last week showed that 9 inches of rain in 6 hours, which happened in Katrina, could leave some neighborhoods under 1 to 5 feet of water. And they're just now acknowledging this. We're almost a year out of Katrina. We're almost at a year out of Katrina. And we're being told that things are not going to go well when hurricane season starts up again. And mind you, hurricane season begins with the idea of warm waters in the tropics. You think waters has you think water has gotten a little warm lately? One 877-920-WGNU 1-877-920-WGNU. Things are hot out here. One of the things that I think that it is important that we take a look at when we're examining how bad it is out here, we need to take a look at how are people that are fighting these issues out here, how they are responding to this. We need to look at that, how our entities responded to our issues at the end of this electricity crisis that we had here in the city of St. Louis. We were told that there were going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of food boxes, 50,000, to be handed out to people to make up for their food losses. Didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. Once again, it shows that I wanted to give them a day or two to see if they would respond to the food needs of our communities after we talked about it here on the show. And there was a cry, there was a hastily arranged press conference saying that people would be fed, and as my understanding right now, that the food did not get out in the numbers that we were told that it would, to the people that we were told that they would go to. Who's to be held accountable for that? Who are we to hold accountable for that? WGNU. When you look at these reports that are coming out, that we better get used to these killer heat waves, then maybe that now is the time that we better start trying to get into office people that are better prepared with responding to these heat waves. Kevin Trenberth, heat waves and global warming are very strongly connected. A persistent high-pressure system in the upper atmosphere prevents the cooler jet stream from making it to the west. But what global warming has done is made the nights warmer in general and the days drier, which help. This is the arithmetic that is used. This is the mathematic. This is the climatonic mathematics that is used to add up to killer heat waves. Now, much of global warming science concentrates on the average monthly and the average yearly temperatures. But recent studies in the past 5 years show that climate change is at its most dangerous during extreme events such as high temperatures, droughts, and flooding. And computer models show that soon, I've seen the movies, we may get many more hotter heat waves that will leave the Dust Bowl records of the 1930s in the dust. Are you scared yet? In the past 25 years, most of the world has seen summer nights getting much warmer with far less evening heat relief. A study by the Climate Research Unit in East Anglia, Great Britain, concluded that the European summer heat waves have increased in frequency at most stations since 1880 and will continue to increase with man-made global warming. 126 degrees. That's how hot it was in Death Valley last week. 126 degrees. Sacramento had 11 days above 100 degrees. George Lubner, an epidemiologist who studies heat waves for the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, says that the current situation is on track to be the most active one that he can recall in terms of heat deaths. When he broke it down, when he studied the numbers, when he cracked the numbers, he said that between 1999 and 2003, the United States averaged nearly 900 heat-related deaths each year. There have been 132 in Central California alone. Did you feel me on that? In 4 years, 900. We've already had 132 in California alone. And the reason why seniors are so vulnerable to this heat wave stuff is because they aren't able to cool down at night. One 877 920 WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to attend to.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Monday in the 6:45 time slot.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Curran Events, where we encourage discussions for both sides of an issue. That way we can learn from each other. That's Jim Curran, Curran Events, Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Israel bombed the Lebanese village of Qana on Sunday. It did more than level a three-story building. It killed 55 people. Most of them were children. The human toll in this city has helped crystallize public opinion around the world against the Israeli military operation that began nearly 3 weeks ago. Dead people, dead babies. There's a cartoon in a political cartoon, editorial cartoon, I guess is a better word, way of saying it. Editorial cartoon that kind of crystallizes the foreign policy. Now, mind you, there are conservatives in America that are saying Condoleezza Rice needs to go. And it's not just Laura Bush. Then there's this editorial cartoon that kind of crystallizes how people see the effectiveness of Condoleezza Rice. Condoleezza Rice is standing before a panel of people, kind of like a cheerleader. What do we want? A ceasefire. When do we want it? I don't know, sometime, a couple weeks, shortly, fairly soon. Next little while. Huh. They have her as a cheerleader. They have her as a, and you know what? They have her as an ineffective cheerleader. That's pretty low down. Even George Bush was a successful cheerleader. One 1-877-920-WGNU. So the world is angry. The world is angry, and that is why we've had a ceasefire. Or bomb runs. And isn't it interesting that Condoleezza Rice runs back to the Middle East after public pressure sends her there, and guess what? She can't get into Lebanon, and guess why? Because they can't say that she would be safe in Lebanon, and safe not from the Hezbollah, but from Israeli bombs, our friends. This administration does diplomacy good, doesn't it? You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, I think it is so hypocritical of the United States to even send somebody over there. I mean, you know, we're the cause of all of this that's going on in Israel. I have a friend that is from over there, Palestinian, and he was showing me a stack of pictures that he pulled up on just what is going on over there. And a lot of people don't know this, that the U.S. just sent a week ago some missiles over there.
I know. I talked about that yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I talked about it this morning as well. That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, this is hypocritical. I mean, in the first place, they've been sending Israel all of this money for years over there, and in turn, they mistreat the Palestinians. This is why so many countries, Liz, hate the United States. I mean, they literally just... It's just pathetic, and for her to go over there...
Her job is a diplomat. Her job is not a warmonger. Her job is not a bomb dropper. Her job is not a kill, 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 and then we'll get back to you type of a policy.
Right.
She's supposed to be a diplomat. These are things... Now, 55 people would be alive today if Condoleezza Rice had been doing her job and this administration had been insisting that she did do her job.
It's just terrible. And if my friend showed me the pictures of these babies,
mm-hmm.
I mean, bodies half blown off.
And show us the comparable Hezbollah pictures, because if they're out there, we would be shown them.
Yeah.
If they were out there, we would be shown them. They're not targeting civilians.
That's right. It's really, and then you know what's really crazy? They said on the news this morning that Israel told the people to leave their homes. So you could do what? I guess just bomb the homes and not the people.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, this bombing over here at Israel that Israel did with where the kids was killed, you know, that reminds me of the last time that where they killed this father and the son as they crouched down. You know, it's the same mentality. They being consistent with the murderous right ways.
Thanks for your call.
Have a good one.
458 civilians have died in Lebanon. Almost 1,000 people. That's more people than I believe it's more soldiers. I'm going to confirm this, but I believe that I don't think that there have been 458 soldiers from Great Britain that have died in Iraq. It's just outrageous. And what is so outrageous about it, and what is so horrible about it, is that it has taken our attention away from what is going on in Baghdad. These are firestorms that are blowing all across the Middle East, caused by this administration. In Baghdad, George Bush has even said that the situation in Baghdad is terrible. How bad does it have to be if George Bush is saying that it's terrible? how much of a nightmare must it be in Baghdad if George Bush out his mouth is saying it's terrible. And here is the twisted, and in all fairness, I try to stay fair, I try to stay consistent. I guess this makes sense in the mind of a D student, ex-cheerleader. It's terrible, but we're winning. Huh? Huh? I guess those are the math skills of a D student from Harvard. 1 + 1 = 37. 1 + 1 = 37. Bush acknowledged last week that the situation in Baghdad is terrible and that more U.S. forces are being deployed. Hopes of withdrawing significant numbers in Iraq have been dashed. Islamic extremists are on the rise in Afghanistan. I guess maybe some people have reduced diplomacy. When people said that our reputation all across the world has suffered under this administration, people, some Americans have said, so what? I don't care what other people think about me. What difference does that make? Well, now you're seeing the fruits of that poorly tended tree. If your reputation is not crap, how do you have the ability to weigh into situations that require diplomacy and be effective? If nobody takes you seriously, if nobody believes the things that are coming out of your mouth, if everybody understands that you're about making war, not facilitating peace, if everybody understands that you will bomb first and think never, of course you're not going to be able to engage in any kind of diplomatic actions that anybody takes seriously or pays attention to. Condoleezza Rice couldn't even get into Lebanon because the Israelis were bombing so bad. Oh, we have a lot of business to tend to. My name is Liz Brown. Ooh, I'll be back. Stay with me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more.
For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Israeli soldiers are promising no airstrikes on Lebanese Hezbollah targets for the next 48 hours. There is still some activity on the ground, though. It's to allow Lebanese civilians to leave town if they choose. ABC's David Wright says that's easier said than done.
Aid organizations are telling us that 48 hours is simply not enough time to get people out.
For one thing, many of the roads are broken. There is shrapnel all over the roads. You can't barely drive for 200 yards in the south without popping a tire. Israel has pummeled the fuel supply, knocking out many gas stations. There's a severe shortage of fuel, so many people don't have the gas to get out.
Secretary of State Rice will push the UN to draft a ceasefire resolution this week.
I take with me an emerging consensus on what is necessary for both an urgent ceasefire and a lasting settlement.
And President Bush talks about the Mideast fighting in a visit today to Miami. Last week, they sweated it out across the West. Now that brutal heat wave is moving east.
The sidewalks sizzled in Bismarck, North Dakota this weekend at a record 112 degrees. In Maryland, dozens of Girl Scouts at a jamboree were overcome by the heat. Scout leaders reacted quickly.
As soon as we saw the one girl getting sick, we took them to air-conditioned place.
In Philadelphia, where excessive heat warnings are in effect, people jumped into a public fountain to cool off and were ordered out by a guard. Not safe, he said.
No chlorine in this water is not clean.
But people will be desperately looking for cool comfort for at least a few more days. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
First, he was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving. Now, actor Mel Gibson is accused of spewing anti-Semitic remarks. The question now, can his career be saved? ABC's Miguel Marquez.
This is a guy who has hundreds of millions of dollars and can certainly afford to make his own films, but he's still got to distribute them. He's still got to get them advertised, and he still has to work with official Hollywood. It is still very unclear how all of this is going to affect his career here.
This is ABC News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Are you thinking about buying a house? If it's the freestanding variety, may not be a bad idea. There's yet another sign that the real estate bubble is about to burst.
From coast to coast, developers are scrapping or delaying plans to build condominiums. A $40 million project in Philadelphia was nixed. In Las Vegas, projects backed by George Clooney, Michael Jordan, and Ivana Trump will not move forward. In South Florida, developments in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach County were canceled. And one home builder said new orders for its condominiums fell by 84% in the second quarter. This may be the time to buy. Many builders who've already started projects are offering big incentives, like kitchen upgrades, to get people to buy. Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
Ben Cook is all thumbs, but that's no insult. The Utah teenager is the text messaging king of the world. He banged out a 160-character message in just over 42 seconds, and this is not his first championship. The 18-year-old won last year, too. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news at this hour, the National Transportation Safety Board will have a preliminary report this week on a plane crash that killed six people in Sullivan. The small plane carrying skydivers from Quantum Leap Skydiving crashed after takeoff from the Sullivan Regional Airport Saturday afternoon. The victims have been identified as 42-year-old pilot Scott Cowan of Sullivan, 22-year-old Robert Cook of Rolla, 38-year-old Melissa Berridge of St. Louis, 44-year-old Robert Walsh of Webster Groves, 22-year-old Victoria Delacroix of Dittmer, and 35-year-old David Paternoster of the Kansas City area. Two survivors remain hospitalized. Authorities believe engine failure may have caused that crash. In other news, an excessive heat warning is in effect until Wednesday evening for the St. Louis area. High temperatures are expected to climb above 100 degrees, with the heat index ranging from 105 to 115 degrees. Cooling centers will be available around the area to provide relief. For more information on getting help with the heat, call the United Way's Operation Weather Survival Line. That number is 1-800-427-4626, 427-4626. And meanwhile, Cool Down St. Louis's annual fundraiser at Busch Stadium is this weekend. The group's in need of financial donations and is out of air conditioners to give to needy St. Louisans. Volunteers will collect donations outside Busch Stadium 2 hours before game time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Donations can also be sent to Cool Down St. Louis, care of UMB Bank, P.O. Box 868, St. Louis, zip code 63188. And finally, a disaster recovery firm will be in St. Louis County this week to help clean up storm debris. Cahaba Disaster Recovery will start removing debris tomorrow from unincorporated areas and cities that have asked for the county's help in the cleanup. Residents are asked to move storm debris onto the curb or the sidewalk because county crews are not authorized to enter private property. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT's working hard to make I-44 smoother and safer for motorists. To avoid the work zones, visit MoDOT.org for alternate routes. Drive smart, arrive alive. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. The I-70 reversible lanes are open only to westbound traffic. The eastbound lanes are closed due to damage to the gate. Traffic is slowing on either side of Tesson Ferry on 270. Eastbound 40 at Long Road and Timberlake Manor. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 at New Halls Ferry and 170, look for traffic building in pockets. Westbound 270 at Illinois 111 and Canal Bridge is slow. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge into downtown, you can expect slow delays. Basically due to the fact that westbound 5570 onto the PSB, it's reduced to two lanes and traffic is backing up already through Illinois 203. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips, spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, a heat advisory is in effect through the end of Wednesday evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy day, very hot, high around 100. This evening, clear and warm with a low around 80. Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much the same. Very hot both days, partly cloudy both days, highs around 100 both days. Expect the heat index to be well over the 100-degree mark on all 3 days. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Revolution in the air, tell me, brother, how can
truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And my email is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. As I look at the story as coming out of Lebanon, the latest bombing that's caused a somewhat of a slowdown in the war effort. And I look at the children that were involved in that, the deaths of the 50-something, 54 people, most of them children. And it seems that some people's attention has been caught. People that hadn't been paying attention to what's going on over there, the children has caught, the fact that there are dead children has caught the attention of folks, some folks. But I wonder, really, how people view children. I wonder, sometimes I think that there's more concern about children that haven't gotten here or children that have passed on than the children who are here. You get me? Now, some people may say that that's just an opinion of sorts, that that's just what you think, but I think we can measure. I believe we can measure our concern about children. You know, in the Japanese Constitution, they have written into the Constitution that children are to be protected, that they have certain rights to health, to safety, to well-being by virtue of the fact that they are children. That's in their constitution. How do we measure our love of children? How do we measure our concern of children? Well, one of the ways that we can do this is we have to look at how we as a nation allow children to suffer. Do we allow children to suffer? And if so, how do we measure that? Well, one way of looking at this is to examine the child poverty rates in the United States. And I think it's a particularly important time to look at the child poverty rates of the United States as our good government shuffles off to a month-long vacation. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to get a month-long vacation? Well, we pay for our elected officials in Washington, D.C. They're getting ready to go on their month-long summer break. Lovely. But one way of evaluating how, I mean, I think it is important to look at this child poverty rate in light of the fact that our good government has a minimum wage bill that they're fixing to pass. But guess what? Only if we give the breaks to, we eliminate the estate tax for the wealthiest in America. Huh? How do we care about babies? Let's see how much we pay their mamas and daddies. Let's take a look at our child poverty rates. We're going to do that with an economist with Economic Policy Institute, Sylvia Allegretto, joining us from Washington, D.C. Stay with us.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Hi, I'm Will Cook, president of Holiday World at Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. People ask me, why is it worth taking the trip to Holiday World? First, Holiday World and Splash and Safari is a great value for your family. We offer two parks for one price with free parking, free inner tube usage, free sunscreen, and free unlimited soft drinks. We have world-class family rides at Holiday World, including three of the best wooden roller coasters, the Raven, the Legend, and new this year, the Voyage, one of the longest, fastest, and tallest wooden coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number 2 rated water park in the world, featuring 2 wave pools, 2 action rivers, and some of the largest water slides on the planet. And it's all free with your admission. At Holiday World, many of our guests travel 3 hours or more to visit us, and they say it's worth the trip. You'll have more fun here than any other park. We're celebrating 60 years of fantastic family fun. I invite you to learn all about us on our website at holidayworld.com.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number 1 for family fun. Open daily until August 20th.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Every day in Jefferson City, someone tries to convince you that what you believe in cannot be done, should not be done, and will not be done. What I have learned serving as your state representative is that it is not just about your positions. It is also about your heart. Do you have the heart to fight and succeed? I believe that my record demonstrates that I do. I fought against a school voucher campaign funded by out-of-state billionaires, and we won. I took a principled stance on restoring health care benefits for people with disabilities. I was the only Democratic freshman last year that actually got legislation passed. I was able to secure $2.7 million for the Missouri Arts Council. My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. No matter how many people in Jefferson City tell me it cannot be done, I will not stop fighting for you. My heart won't let me.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Frank.
Like I'm invisible.
Baby, you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Baby, you won't.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. While our Congress is on vacation, let's take a look at what policies are in place to address our high child poverty rates. Are they effective? Do they work? 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to have that discussion this morning with economist Sylvia Allegretto. Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. Sylvia, in a nutshell, do we have policies in the United States, government policies, that actually address or reduce the child poverty rates that we have?
Yes, I mean, of course we do. I mean, people know that we do have, you know, all kinds of policies, and we have some good things in place, like the earned income tax credit that working families are able to claim, you know, on their taxes. That'll boost their incomes, and certainly that boosts, since it's mostly low-income people, it is all low-income people, boosts some of those people over the poverty rate. I think the point is that, you know, we have an incredible amount of poverty here, and last official government count, we have just under 13%, about 12.7% of our people in poverty. We have children in poverty is much higher, just under 18%.
How do we compare with other countries?
And I think that's the thing. When you compare our poverty rates with other wealthy, developed countries, you know, countries such as France, you know, all countries in Europe and Canada, for instance, I think most people would be surprised that when you take the top 20 wealthiest, richest, most developed countries in the world, we absolutely have the highest poverty, overall poverty rates, and highest child poverty rates.
And when we what is it that we look at when we make a determination of child poverty? What numbers are we looking at? What factors are we looking at?
Well, when you do an international comparison, because, you know, different countries have different standards, so they try to standardize some measurement. And the measure that meant they make here to, you know, have the same measurement across countries is they look at families that are making half of the median income in each country. So it's a little bit different rate than we have our official poverty rate that we measure in the U.S., which is, you know, we have these poverty thresholds in the U.S., and it depends on your family size, and if you're under that poverty threshold, then you're in poverty. But actually, that threshold comes to be, you know, really close to about half the median anyway. But if somebody's making half the median income, a family's making half the median income, you know, that's a pretty good it's a pretty good indicator that a family's in some financial distress.
When we look at these policies, don't we also, or can't we also, look at the policies that exist in countries to keep children out of poverty?
Well, that's kind of what the report that we're putting out about these international comparisons is. It goes even much beyond poverty. I mean, I think most Americans would probably not be shocked that we spend more money per capita. And whether you look at, you know, per person, or if you look at, you know, GDP, you know, our percentage of gross domestic product, we spend about 15% of our gross domestic product on health care, much higher than any other of these developed countries. And, of course, one could argue that we have a lot of variation in our health care outcomes. One is that, you know, I mean, this poverty rate is certainly a symptom of these health care, but we also, of all these countries, have the highest infant mortality rate, and we have the lowest life expectancy. I think that would surprise most Americans. So one of the problems, I think, in America, certainly compared to these other countries, is that, you know, it's a distributional problem. We spend tons of money on health care. That's not, the spending's not the problem. It's the distribution of who gets the health care, who has access to health care, and who doesn't, where in virtually all these other countries, and people here are more familiar with Canada, you know, they have some kind of universal health care system. And I think that's the point. One of the largest points here, one of the biggest points we can make here, is that our health care is a problem of access. and some kind of universal system needs to be put into place.
I know that you are an economist, and I know that you are crunching the numbers of this, but I still have to ask the question of why.
Well, I think you know, obviously it can be done. That's one reason we do these international comparisons. These countries spend a lot less money. Everybody's covered. How do they do it? I mean, in America, you hear a lot of criticism of the Canadian and European economic systems. And what we're saying is that a lot of the, surprisingly, a lot of the European systems, such as in France, I mean, that's what a lot of people think about, oh, do we want an economy like France? But, you know, there's many countries in Europe that have productivity levels that are as high or higher than the U.S., and they have outcomes that arguably are better because, for instance, they have much lower child poverty rate, or because they have universal health care and higher life expectancies and what have you. So there is something that we can take away. It doesn't mean we want to become necessarily a European economic system here, but there are some models, there are some parts of these economic models that we think we can learn from. And so, healthcare is a really good example because it's very easy that people know here that there's so many people that are left behind in our country that don't have access. Well, that's a good question to ask. How do Europeans spend much less of their GDP on healthcare, yet cover all of their citizens and have some, you know, fairly good outcomes? That's a fair question to ask, we think. Our economy has been more driven towards more a market-driven economy, so that means less of these interventionist things. For instance, Social Security, when they want to privatize Social Security, that's going from a really good, efficient, effective government program to a market-driven policy. And, you know, we don't think that's a good idea.
And in terms of the cost of this, what is the cost to a society that deals with child poverty like we do, that has such a high number of children in poverty? What's the cost?
What is the cost of the poverty?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the cost to a nation that has policies like this?
I think it's indeterminable. I mean, the cost is, you know,
I don't mean an actual number. I just mean the things that result from having policies like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have, you know, when you have children that are in poverty, living in poverty, that don't get adequate health care, that don't get adequate nutrition, that then when they do get education, not only is the education often inadequate, but they're not prepared. I mean, you can't go to school and be hungry and not prepared and not having the money and the resources to be, you know, kind of ready and, you know, get up and get going in the morning and get to school and be successful in your educational attainment, for instance. And of course, once that happens, you have lesser good outcomes as far as, you know, your income stream for your lifetime and what have you. I mean, I just think it's huge because, you know, everybody needs to, have a good start in life and a good chance in life and equal opportunity. And certainly people that are born into poverty and can't escape, you know, low-income living and stuff don't have those types of opportunities.
We will be back with Sylvia Allegretto, economist with the Economic Policy Institute. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. When we come back, we're going to be talking about part of this report, this forthcoming, the State of Working America 2006-2007. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. The I-70 reversible lanes are open only to westbound traffic. They're closed on the eastbound side as there's damage to the gate. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and 366, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall, very heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to Mid Rivers, very heavy volume as well. Westbound 270 at Newhalls Ferry all the way into 170, heavy traffic in pockets and westbound 270 from Namioki Road to Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect delays as westbound 5570. They have paving operations, and the roadway is reduced to two lanes, not three, two lanes, and traffic is already backed up way through Illinois 203. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, you can help a child excel in school through September. Donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at the service department of your participating Toyota dealer. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, heat advisory is in effect through Wednesday evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy, very hot today, high around 100. This evening, clear skies, warm, low around 80. For Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much the same. Very hot, partly cloudy both days, highs in the 100s. The heat index will be around 100 and above for all 3 days. Currently, we have 83 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th. Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Greetings, St. Louis. For a fresh approach on the local sporting scene, check out The Oliver Show, Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for State Representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August the 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Fill in 38.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
With the time you let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to economist Sylvia Allegretto. She is with the Economic Policy Institute, and she's joining us from Washington, D.C. Sylvia, there's a report that is going to be coming out, The State of Working America.
That's correct. That's a biannual, actually, book. It's about a 500-page book. It's a huge book that basically summarizes everything you could want to know about the American, labor market, what's happening to average workers. We have a child on poverty, family income, wages, international comparisons. It's everything you could possibly want to know, yeah.
I'm looking at a front page story in the New York Times today, and it says that men are not working and they're not wanting at just any job. It says about 13% of American men in the age group of 30 to 55 are not working. That's up from 5% in the late 60s. That's the difference represents 4 million men who would be working today if the employment rate had remained where it was in the 50s and the 60s. How are we looking out here? How do we compare in the year 2006 and 2007? This is an interesting phenomenon. Men are not working because the jobs are not paying enough.
Well, that's right. The employment rates for men have been historically falling, and for women they've been historically increasing, right? I mean, it used to be back in the 50s and 60s, women didn't work much, and then they came in droves into the labor force and into the 70s and 80s. I think the more important point is over the shorter term, because those are longer-term trends.
Mm-hmm.
But over the shorter term, meaning this cycle, you know, since the 2001 recession, we do know that employment rates for men and women have dropped off. And we feel that that is because of this terrible recovery as far as jobs. Remember, we were in a recession in 01. That was followed by a jobless recovery. I mean, you know, remember, the economy wasn't creating any jobs through 01, 02, and partway into all the way into 03.
How do you have a jobless economy and it succeed? I mean,
it's called a jobless recovery.
I'm sorry. I mean, how do you have
meaning
a job?
That, you know, the powers that be determined that the recession was over. So the recession was over, but the economy continued to shed jobs as if we were still in a recession. So now we're about 5 years into this cycle. 5 years, it's been the worst jobs recovery on record, meaning that we've had the lowest jobs rate of creation of any other economic recovery since we've started taking these statistics. So we do believe that one thing is a lot of, you know, you get back to your employment rate, some, you know, problem. A lot of people in these last 5 years have left looking for jobs, and they're no longer working because it was so hard to find jobs. And of course, there are a large amount of people that are displaced from their jobs and can't, you know, this isn't kind of the Rust Belt over by your area. A lot of people losing manufacturing and auto industry jobs that are finding it hard to become reemployed. And so discouraged workers, or the fact that workers kind of drop out because they can't get reemployed, makes the unemployment rate go down. We do know that during very good times, such as in the late 1990s, everybody remembers our, you know, beautiful boom years that we had, the employment rates skyrocketed for even, you know, for a lot of people, and that goes for even rates that are pretty low, such as you know, African American males who sometimes struggle to get those employment rates higher. They had gone through the roof in the late 1990s. One of the things is that we need to have job creation. We need to pick up job creation and have truly tight labor markets, so everybody who wants to work can find jobs and, you know, who want to work. And then that does a lot of great things for the economy, because one of the problems is of stagnating wages. Wages for average workers have gone nowhere.
Well, let's talk for a second about this political act that we're seeing happen in the Congress, the minimum wage issue. It's my understanding that tied to this raise of the minimum wages is a nice little handoff to the wealthy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is incredible. First of all, the minimum wage is $5.15 an hour, which I find, talking to average Americans, a lot of them are really surprised it's that low. And then when I tell them it's gone the longest time on record that it hasn't been changed, it's been about 8 years now that the minimum wage hasn't been changed. And remember, the minimum wage isn't even, you know, isn't indexed to any inflation or anything. So every year the minimum wage erodes a little bit more. So in real terms, the minimum wage is about, I think it's around $4.50, you know, which is just incredibly unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, because in, you know, these congresspersons, you know, they give themselves a raise every year. And
a month-long vacation in the summer.
So I mean, I think they do understand, even in bad times, they give themselves cost-of-living wages so they can keep up, you know, right where they were, meaning that, you know, if inflation is so many percent, then they get same percent raise just to kind of keep even. But that concept seems to be lost on them when it comes to the minimum wage. It has been just unbelievable, it's, you know, how long this has gone on. The good news is that, I mean, I take your point that this bill has all this other stuff, so I don't know if it'll pass or if it won't pass. And if it does pass, that means we have to give up a lot of our governmental income that the wealthy pays, you know, they're going to be getting more tax breaks.
But then that also don't. But Sylvia, if that happens, it's not just tax breaks. That means that there's less money in the pot.
That's right.
And that means that even any break that we get in the wages is going to be offset cuts to programs.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so I don't work on Capitol Hill down there, and I can never really figure out what's going on. But it doesn't sound like a good thing. It does sound like, like you said, they put these other things in. So if it is passed, then we give up a lot, and in areas that I don't think we should be giving up, such as more tax breaks to the wealthy or getting rid of the estate tax. I think that's bad policy. But I think a good piece of news here is that the states have just finally had it with the federal government. So the states, I think right now we're at about 22 states have state minimum wage laws that are higher than the federal laws.
And we have one on our ballot this year in November.
Yes, they've caught like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
The Economic Policy Institute, where I work, does a lot of good work in that area, helping smaller groups in all the states, get these things passed. So I know one passed in Pennsylvania just last week, and they're on a lot of state ballots. So that's a good thing, because a lot of states have just taken it, into their own hands, and I think that's a very good thing. And then you also have the living wage campaigns going on. Those are usually in municipalities or in cities or in counties or what have you, such as in Santa Fe, where it's really expensive to live, Santa Fe, New Mexico, or Aspen, Colorado. These little enclaves are really, places where living wages are needed. So there's living wage campaigns also going on all over the country. But it is shameful that the federal minimum wage is still stuck at $5.15 an hour, and now they're kind of, as you pointed out, seem to be playing games with it.
And another component to this also, Sylvia, isn't it? Not only are jobs more difficult to find, but jobs are more difficult to get. I mean, you look in the newspaper and you see entry-level jobs requiring college degrees. The number of people, the ratio of people getting college degrees has been declining because it's been so expensive for people to get into school. So we have that factor as well, keeping people out of the job market.
Yeah, it is kind of hard. I mean, people do say that the new, college degree is kind of what the old high school degree used to be.
Mm-hmm. Only a lot more expensive because it didn't cost anything to get a high school degree.
It used to be cheaper, that's for sure. So that is a problem. And then, of course, the quality of jobs. I mean, you have to look at the quality of jobs. And we do know that every year, the Census Bureau, at the end of August, they're going to come out with their big poverty reports. We've been talking about poverty, their big income and poverty and health care report. And that's going to be really interesting because the poverty rate has increased 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row, the poverty rate has increased. So we'll see what it did in 2005. These data are always lag about a half a year or so. So we'll see what happens. We're going to get the 2005 data. But also in those data, which we've shown over quite a time, and this is all in the State of Working America, very interesting stuff, is that, the job quality. I mean, you're less likely to have a job that has health care. If it does have health care, you're being asked to pay more of your share in that health care, which is another, this is kind of bad. This is another reason we need to have some kind of universal care, because it really hurts our businesses and our firms in America as far as being competitive internationally, because they have to be health care providers. And in other countries, like I've mentioned, they don't have to be health care providers. So we need to free up that burden, and it makes no sense for our employers to be the ones having to kind of try to deal with the health care problem in this country.
And we have to take a break. We have to take a break. Let me take this break, and we'll be back with more of our conversation with the economist Sylvia Allegretto. She's joining us from the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Monday in the 7:45 time slot.
This is Mark Enderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Did you know that we have one of the highest unemployment rates, no hospitals in Normandy, and failing schools within the 71st District? Henry Awenafu wants to change this landscape. We can no longer continue to vote for candidates who will not fight for the basic needs in our community. On August 8th, vote for Henry Awenafu, a candidate who will fight to restore our community's landscape like he did as trustee for the village of Uplands Park.
This ad was paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Awenafu.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs. Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say. Matty, don't you whip that ball.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we are talking about the economy. We are talking about poverty rates. We're talking about the state of working America. Our guest is an economist with Economic Policy Institute, joining us from Washington, D.C., Sylvia Allegretto. Sylvia, welcome back.
Yes.
The other side of this, when we look at that high child poverty rates. We would be remiss in looking at this if we don't take a look at the other end of the scale. CEO pays.
Mm.
Okay, talk to us about how that, because when we talk about the state of work in America, we got to talk about what those guys are getting paid as well.
Yeah, the people at the very top, whether they're CEOs, like I mentioned earlier, you know, wages throughout most of this recovery, the last 5 years, have often even fallen behind the inflation rate and have been pretty stagnant for the average worker. But those at the very top, CEOs included obviously, and other people who are, you know, at the very top of the wage scale, you know, our very richest people, have actually been doing very well. They have been doing very well, and relatively they've been doing very well, meaning that the income, the inequality, you know, the wage of the average worker compared to those at the top, There's a big divergence between the two, and it's growing larger. It has been growing, has been growing since the 70s, and has been growing, exponentially larger since then. So you have the top really pulling away from everyone else. And
I mean, in real terms, people can get a real feeling of this. Is it true that the average CEO earns more before lunchtime on the very first day of work than a minimum wage earner earns all year?
That's about right. Make an incredible amount of money compared to what the average worker makes. And, of course, this has become, you know, a large part of a lot of companies' dividends and incomes and profits are going to CEO pays and to CEO pay. And, of course, it feeds into this idea of inequality. There's not a whole lot of CEOs, but anybody at the top who's pulling away, you know, this inequality gap that is growing so large over time makes it really hard for Americans to try to, you know, kind of move up the income scale.
So in terms of where we should expect this to continue to go, and what are some of the solutions to this?
Well, of course, you mentioned one big one is, you know, increasing the minimum wage. That would certainly help a lot of low-income workers. The idea of, you know, providing health care for people, that's certainly a stress and a strain on low-income and part-time workers who are less likely to have any type of health care attached to their employment. You know, we make decisions here. We make choices. For instance, you mentioned in this bill that we're trying to make choices, you know, to increase the minimum wage and to give big tax breaks to the wealthy as far as in the form of the estate tax, which, you know, the estate tax doesn't affect, most people are not even affected by the estate tax.
Not directly, but when the money is removed
That's what I mean. Most people don't have to pay it.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
It doesn't kick in until you have to be leaving millions of dollars for it to kick in. And So, you know, unless we want this kind of, which we're kind of getting this, you know, this upper crust of, you know, Americans who are extremely, extremely wealthy, and I feel, you know, not paying their fair share of the burden, because they do certainly prosper, and they're successful in large part due to the rest of us working and, you know, making money for their companies. We're the workers. We're the one, you know, making the economic pie grow and not kind of seeing our fair share of it when it does. So yeah, it's just common sense that, you know, this is the type of, you know, you have to make decisions on what type of society you want.
Now, in terms of the biggest impact, in terms of the quickest change, would you say that changing to a universal health care system, would that have the biggest economic change for America? Would that be the best place to start?
Well, I'm not a health care economist. I know it's an extremely, extremely difficult question, and that's why I kind of just pose it, because it is being done and done successfully in many other countries. So it seems like if other countries can do it, the richest country in the world certainly should be able to do it.
But it seems as though health care crosses over so many
groups. Huge, and the impact would be absolutely huge. I do believe that. A lot of people are left behind. A lot of people don't have preventative care. A lot of people don't have the, you know, we have a lot of our folks who are, I believe, my feeling is a lot of our folks that we, for instance, see on the streets are not kind of lazy, you know, stupid people. They're people that have a lot of problems, and a lot of those are medical problems. A lot of those are some mental health problems. And it's just a shame that in a country like ours, the wealthiest country in the world, that we can have this happening, that we can have, you know, such high child poverty, high and increasing child and overall poverty rates, that we can have such high and increasing people that don't have access to health care. At last count, we had, you know, 46 million people that didn't have any health care. That's 16% of our population. You know, we're the richest country in the world. We have to make hard decisions, and sometimes I think the hard decisions aren't made. And you know, the fact is, when people say we can't change things can be changed. We just have to make different choices.
And with respect to the health care component, as you say, it causes so many different issues. I believe that if people were freed up from health care obligations, people would be able to do so many other things with their lives.
Yeah.
And far more successfully, and obviously without the stress. If none of us had the stress, because you don't have to be in poverty to have stress from healthcare issues, healthcare financial issues.
Middle income, people making pretty good wages. If you don't have healthcare and you have a family, or even if you're single, I mean, to try to pay for healthcare on the market, you know, to go out and buy your own healthcare is, you know, an impossible financial burden for many, many people. And these are even very hardworking people that possibly make even good wages. It's not that easy. And like you say, it's just not people in poverty by any means. This is a burden for many people. It's a burden on our employers. And it hurts our competitiveness around the world. And it's a huge issue that, again, like the minimum wage, we have some states now starting to pick it up. I mean, last week in San Francisco, that's not the whole state, but it's the city of San Francisco, passed a health care initiative that they're going to make sure that everybody in San Francisco has some kind of basic health care. Massachusetts last month is also experimenting with a new program. So it looks like the states, just like what happened to the minimum wage, are going to try to kind of take this up on their own and
incrementally try to deal with this.
Right. I mean, it would be better if we could have some kind of, good, sweeping plan. But at least this way we'll be able to learn something, that somebody's doing something that we can look at and we can start to determine what works and what doesn't work. We only know one thing for sure at the federal level: what we're doing now is not working.
And Sylvia, you said before the break that most Americans would be surprised to find that the minimum wage is $5.15, and even more surprised if you adjusted it that it's around $4 and something per hour. Do you think, or do you get the sense that Americans are feeling the economic reality of the way we're living now at better than they did a year ago?
Well, things have picked up. I mean, that's the good news. Things have picked up over the past year. I mean, that's really good. But the fact is, wages have been pretty stagnant. They're starting to pick up a little, but really the average wage now is about where it was in 2001. So, we've lost a lot of potential gains. What we could have had, the cost of living is increasing, but our wages aren't moving much. That's a real stress. And also, we expect to have, standard of living increases, especially in an economy. Remember, we're in an expansion. I mean, output is increasing. Some of our productivity levels, productivity gains over this time have been huge. That's a good news. That's what you need to have kind of like real standard of living increases, Workers are extremely productive. The economic pie expands, and workers get their fair share of that pie. Well, the part of that is broken down is that the workers are getting their fair share. Productivity, some of those gains have been just through the roof over the last 5 years. This lockstep of productivity being good and that filtering down to the average worker just has kind of broken down.
And don't we have to factor in something new? And will the State of Working America report, will it take into account the extraordinary high prices that we're now having to pay at the pump and the impact of that?
Yeah, we kind of do talk about that a little bit, but it's kind of hard to pinpoint exactly who's spending what. I mean, the one thing we can say for sure is that for probably middle and certainly low-income folks who have to get up and drive to work every day, folks in parts of the area that don't have mass transportation that they can switch to. I mean, I live in Washington, D.C., so it's easy here to say, hey, take the metro. But there are certainly many, many parts of the country that there's not good mass transportation that people can get to work. And so there are people that have to kind of face that burden every day regardless, just to get up and go to work and get their kids to school and what have you. And at gas prices, at least around here, have been consistently over $3 a gallon. That does start to pinch. And it looks like they're not going to be coming down anytime soon.
And in terms of on the State of Working America, the average working American, those high prices are really going to make people have to make other choices that they haven't made before. And we're not in the type of economy where people are actually going to be able to live better in the year 2006 and 2007.
Yeah, that's what we hope. We want the economy to expand. We want people to live better. That's right. And that hasn't been happening for quite some time. And that's why I think there's the disjoint between, kind of the administration saying how good the economy is, how strong the economy says, but then people on Main Street kind of saying, wait, I don't feel that good. I there's less money in my pocket, and I'm struggling here to make ends meet. The people on the ground know that their wages haven't gone anywhere for quite some time, and they're expecting things to get better, but the problem is we've been expecting that for quite some time.
Sylvia Allegretta, where can people get a copy of or look forward to a copy of the State of Working America?
Oh, you can just find it on our website at eti.org. We release it appropriately on Labor Day, so we'll be talking a lot more about it in the coming weeks.
Sylvia Allegretta, thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back for your calls, questions, and comments in the next hour. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound that's below the knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Israeli tanks roll over the border with Lebanon. The only action for the next 48 hours against Hezbollah militants in Lebanon will be on the ground. No airstrikes till then. In the meantime, Secretary of State Rice is pushing the UN to draft a ceasefire resolution. ABC's David Wright in Lebanon says it may not do much good.
The Hezbollah leader is not backing down from this fight. He's promising retribution in the wake of the attack on Khana. So getting them to go along with any ceasefire proposal is going to probably be the trickiest part of this whole thing.
For the first time, journalists reached the southern Lebanese village of Bint Jubail, which was pounded for nearly 3 weeks.
There are very few emergency services here. The place is flattened. And I'm watching journalists carrying old men and old women out of buildings. We're pulling away rocks to get at them. We just a few moments ago had to carry an old woman down the street. She was in a pitiful condition. It's fiercely hot. There's no water for them. And it is, I mean, I've in all my years of war reporting, I have never seen anything quite like this.
The BBC's Fergal Kane in Bint Jubail. It could be a scorcher today for the plains in the upper Midwest. Heat warnings are in effect from Oklahoma to Michigan, where the highs could climb into the 90s or even over 100 degrees. It's hard to find relief, even on a Chicago playground.
We've seen an infrared thermometer, the kind the fire departments use, brought it to a playground and measured the temperature of some of the playground equipment. There are some tires that kids play in, plastic tires. They're black. They absorb the heat. The tires tested at 160 degrees, and that was on a playground on a 100-degree day. So be careful.
ABC's Barbara Pinto in Chicago. Jury selection begins today in New Orleans for the second trial, a federal trial accusing drug maker Merck of hiding information about its painkiller Vioxx. This is ABC News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month-end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Well, the Pirates couldn't walk the plank again. ABC's Dave Alpert has more on the movie that moved Johnny Depp and company out of the top spot over the weekend.
A couple of cops have taken over the top spot.
Things get emotional, moves get messy, and the wrong people die.
Miami Vice, the big screen remake of the 80s TV series, took in over $25 million. After 3 weeks at number one...
You owe me your soul, and it's time to pay up.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, slipped to second place, earning another $20 million. It's now the top-grossing movie in Disney history. The new teen flick, John Tucker Must Die, debuted at number three, followed by Monster House and The Ant Bully. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
The boy George booked his next job, or maybe we should say was booked, then given his next job. The former pop star will pick up trash in New York City beginning August 14th. It's a sentence for pleading guilty in March to false reporting of an incident. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's an update of WGNU News brought to you by Sonic. Not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. The Overland Police Department is teaming up with the city of Charlac to host a picnic for National Night Out. Corporal Scott Bartholomew of the Overland Police Department says the purpose behind National Night Out is to get people to know their neighbors and help combat crime.
They know things that look out of place in that. Police, we can't be everywhere all the time. Having these neighbors involved and working cooperatively adds an extra set of eyes out there to make things safer for people.
The picnic begins at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Norman Myers Park. In other news, a local man will kick off a three-state bike ride this week to raise awareness for polycystic kidney disease. David Porcorny, the marketing director for Fox Sports Midwest, says his mother is among the 600,000 Americans suffering from PKD. Porcorny kicks off his trek August 3rd at Fort Bellefontaine. He'll travel through Missouri and Kansas before his trip ends August 20th at Pikes Peak in Colorado. And finally, this hour, Cool Down St. Louis annual fundraiser at Busch Stadium will be held this weekend. Fundraiser chair Melanie DeLeo says most people in the St. Louis area know what it's like to be without air conditioning after the recent widespread power outages.
This year, I guess over 500,000 of us were without electricity, which meant that in the hottest days of St. Louis, we learned what it was like not to have the air conditioner on. And the money that we raise for this weekend is the money that we help those low-income elderly and children who cannot afford to turn those air conditioners on.
Volunteers will collect donations outside Busch Stadium 2 hours before game time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Donations can also be made online at cooldownstlouis.org. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for the new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito. Crispy jalapeno strips and spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. The I-70 reversible lanes are open only to westbound traffic. Eastbound is closed due to damage to the gate. Southbound 270 at 40, there's an accident. Right lane's blocked. Traffic is back up through Olive Boulevard. Eastbound 40 between Broomstick and Mason. Look for slight delays. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. Stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Expect heavy volume going on this hour. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow at this hour. That's basically due to the fact that westbound 5570 into downtown, the paving operations have it reduced to two lanes, and traffic is backed up through 203. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Mega Millions. Tonight you could triple your winnings with Mega Tripler. See your retailer for details. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, heat advisory is in effect through Wednesday evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy day, very hot, high around 100. For this evening, clear and warm with a low around 80. Tuesday and Wednesday, the same. Partly sunny both days, very hot, highs in the 100s. And you can expect the heat index to be well over the 100 degree mark both today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 84 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 84. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers talking to the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers talking to the sun.
To use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made
You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hey, Liz. How you doing?
Andre, good morning.
Yeah, just enjoyed the last segment. But what I need to know is, what was that email address again? I don't think I copied it right.
The email address would be, I think it's epi.org. It's Economic Policy Institute. So you can do a Google search on Economic Policy Institute. Okay.
All right. Now, did she list on that site, do you know, all the figures that she was mentioning and other things?
Yes.
Because that's really helpful information.
Yes, it is. And yes, they do.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I need to know.
All right. Thank you, Andre. 1-877-920-WGNU. Christine.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to comment on a few stories I heard over the weekend to your listening audience.
We'll give you a couple, Christine.
Okay. Well, the first one I heard was about, now this, mind you, was before the storm that came through Saturday afternoon, that the people in North St. Louis County, their power had been turned on, but something blew up. They didn't say whether it was a transformer or what have you. Their power was knocked out again, and thousands are without power. And then after the storm went through, there are tens of thousands more that power was knocked out. So
I lost my power on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and I got a call on Saturday morning that the people in Jennings also lost their power around the same time that I lost my power.
It would be interesting to know what...
And there was no storm.
And I said, yeah, that's what I said before this storm that went through. It would be interesting to know what happened, what blew up out there in North County.
Mm.
And another thing is I heard that Cindy Sheehan has bought some property near Flip Flop and W, a.k.a. the war president's property, so that she can still have her protest against the war.
She also used the funds from her son's, from her and son's insurance or estate to buy that property.
Mm-hmm.
And what is interesting when you look at the impact and effect of Cindy Sheehan, just think about it. I don't know when George Bush has had a vacation since Cindy Sheehan took root out there outside of his house. So that's one wonderful thing that she's kept him running, although, you know, maybe he does need a break given how much on fire the world is since he hasn't had a break.
And this is a story I'm surprised more people haven't heard about. This is in Phoenix, Arizona, which is, they say they have about 1 million people. For over a month now, they've had 2 serial killers operating. They said they're competing against one another to see how many people they can kill. One is called the Baseline Serial Killer, and the other one is called the Serial Shooter. The Serial Shooter, well, you know, this name is explanatory. He goes around and just goes around and shoots people. The other one, which is called the Baseline Killer, he rapes and murders. So
all right.
It's very strange that we haven't heard anything about that. And they said the police have very few leads. And they have something called the guardian angels that are out patrolling. And they said people don't come out at night. Those who work on the night shift, they quit their night shift jobs. And he said only place you can find people is at the shooting range and at a gun supply store.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they tried to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, and I'm running for State Representative in the 60th District. Are you tired of the politicians that only come around when they need your vote? Politicians that care more about serving themselves and their family members than the interests of the people. Politicians that use eminent domain to take people's homes. On Tuesday, August 8th, the power will be in your hands. You can make a change by voting for me, Jamila Nasheed. I don't only talk the talk, I walk the walk. As your next state representative, I will fight for a livable wage, better schools, job opportunities for our community, and I will also protect homeowners from eminent domain. I will hold regular meetings and return phone calls. That is my pledge to you. On Tuesday, August the 8th, fill in number 38 on your ballot. Vote for Jamila Nasheed, a voice for the voiceless.
Paid for by Citizens to Elect Jamila Nasheed, Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Fill in 38.
A struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want the toll-free long-distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Normally, I don't do this. I don't really try to do the Hollywood gossip thing on my show unless it's, you know, really intriguing or I can't help myself. And this is, I don't know if this is either one of those things. I just think it is very interesting. But we have to look at things. We have to look at things thoroughly. And draw conclusions and understand that you can look at a body of work and make decisions about it and make assessments about a body of work. What am I talking about? Who am I talking about? I don't think it should be particularly surprising to anyone that Mel Gibson was violent at his arrest, his DUI arrest. He's the one that put violence into a story about Christ. This is a person whose most of his movies are very... There is one movie that is so violent of his that I really, really couldn't watch it. It was so violent. What is it called? Payday? Have you seen that one, Howard? Payday with Mel Gibson? It is one of the most... It is shot in that kind of bluish light. You know, that grainy bluish light. It is so violent. So should we be surprised? I mean, I know that there are some out there that would make the argument that, you know, you can separate people from their work. Okay, yes and no. The violent cop that's violent on the street is going to be violent when he comes home. The person that whose career has been one of really, really, really violent movies, is it a surprise that he behaves violently? I don't think it is. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, again, he put violence into a story about Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you make that a story? The Passion of the Christ was very, very, very violent. He found a violent way to tell that story. Okay. Okay. But there's a little bit more to this as well. Should we, if you conclude that someone is violent, is intolerance a very far step from violence? Or is violence the very definition of intolerance? Is an embrace of violence, as is the embrace of violence, the very definition of intolerance? I don't know. They're saying that Mel Gibson is 50 years old, told deputies that made insults against Jewish people, and also directed a sexual insult at a female deputy. And what is going to be interesting about that is that, remember that Mel Gibson was accused in the making of The Passion of the Christ by Jewish folks in the Jewish community. He was criticized as subtly placing the blame on Jews for the crucifixion. And then Gibson's father, Hutman Gibson, inflamed the issue when he minimized the Holocaust in a New York Times interview. And Mel declined to criticize his father. And he denied that he had personally had a bias against Jews. It's going to be very interesting to see. It's going to be very interesting to see if Mel gets many more jobs coming out of Hollywood. It's going to be very interesting to see. But Mel, in his response, has said, and he said this on Saturday. He was arrested on Friday, and here's what his statement was on Saturday. I acted like a person completely out of control when I was arrested and said things that I do not believe to be true and which are despicable. I am deeply ashamed of everything I said, and I apologize to anyone who I've offended. Yeah, he came out with that less than 24 hours later. And what is being said from the president of the Anti-Defamation League, who was critical of The Passion? Mea culpa is not enough. It's not a proper apology because it does not go to the essence of his bigotry and anti-Semitism. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. It doesn't go to the essence of it. Okay. It's going to be very interesting. It is going to be very interesting because Mel Gibson has a movie that's supposed to be released on December 8th. It's called the Apocalypto. It's a Mayan adventure saga. Walt Disney is releasing the movie. And it's going to be very interesting how this is played out, how this plays out, particularly in Hollywood. But I don't think that anybody should be crying any crocodile tears for Mel, because I know that Mel has got to be worth millions, despite the fact that I think he has like 10 kids. I think you don't need to worry about his bank account. He'll be all right. He's going to be all right. The interesting story, however, is not going to be whether or not Mel will find himself begging for quarters on Skid Row. It's whether or not he will have a job in Hollywood anymore, and how America will respond to these comments. And if they go after him, if America goes after him the way that America has gone after, oh, I don't know, Minister Farrakhan. Let's see the rage of Hollywood and America on Mel Gibson. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mary.
You know, I was listening to you talk about Mel Gibson. Whoopi was taking people on tours at the movie industry. Did you see that and read about that? And they was asking her, why was she accepting a job like that? You know, she made a comment about the president, and she got in trouble. You remember that, Liz? Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing tours, and they asked her, why was she accepting a job like that, touring the movies, and she said that she had to make money. So I said, boy, when you go against this government or say things like that and you're in the lamplight, and I remember years ago, I think it was Eartha Kitt. Was it Eartha Kitt? Someone made a remark about Lady Bird, and she lost her. They blackballed her for a long time.
Whiteballed her. Yes, they did.
Whiteballed her. Okay, this is what I want to say, too. Liz, this the most... something that heard in the news this weekend that was really upsetting to me, when this senator made a remark about he'd never seen a war where there was the casualties was more tears than men in uniform. Do you know the senator that made that remark?
I didn't understand what you just said, Mary. What did he say?
He said this is something to think, that a war has more kids being killed than men in uniform. He said he thinks that's the tragedy of this war over there in Jerusalem, you know, there with the Jews. Did you hear this remark he made, the senator?
That, oh, okay.
He never seen a war. He thought it was pathetic that they had a war over there.
In Lebanon, is
uh-huh,
it? Okay.
Where you have more kids being killed than men in uniform.
I, you know what? I had never thought of it like that, and I think that that's a profound observation. I think that that is a very, very, very profound observation.
Well, I heard him make the statement twice,
mm-hmm,
and I said, that is terrible. More kids than men in uniform
that is
being
correct.
Killed.
That is correct.
Okay, Liz, you have a good day.
1-877-920-WGNU, you too. I will be back. Stay with me.
Good morning. morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. The I-70 reversible lanes are open only to westbound traffic. Eastbound is closed due to damage on the gate. Southbound 270 between Ladue, that accident's been cleared, but traffic still jams at Olive. Northbound 270 at Manchester, disabled vehicle partially blocking the left lane of the exit ramp to Manchester Road. Northbound 270 at Gravois N44, that congestion is still cleared this hour, but you may see some residual delays. Eastbound 70 at 79 is returned back to normal. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and Graham Hanley, as well as Illinois Route 3 and Canal Bridge. Look for no delays now. The only delays you should see are into the Poplar Street Bridge as westbound 5570 at the PSB. The roadway is reduced to two lanes and traffic is backed up through 64 at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, you can help a child excel in school through September. Donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at the service department of your participating Toyota dealer. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. An excessive heat warning is in effect through Wednesday evening. Otherwise, sunny today, very hot, high around 100. This evening, clear with a low around 80. For Tuesday and Wednesday, very hot, sunny both days, highs around 100s both days. The heat index will be expected to reach above the 100-degree mark for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Currently, we have 85 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
With Republicans slash health care coverage impacting over 100,000 Missourians, as a member of the powerful budget committee, I work to restore those cuts. Many are still affected and don't have health care coverage. As your next state senator, I will continue to fight and be a strong voice for all the residents of the 4th Senatorial District. Tuesday, August the 8th, punch number 26 to vote for me, Amber Holly Boykins, an experienced leader who has a record of achievement as your state representative and the proven leadership we need in your next state senator.
Paid for by friends of Amber H. Boykin, Pam Butler, Treasurer.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. Learn how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. That's Design 411 at noon, Wednesdays on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Kenneth Jones, candidate for 4th District State Senator. Governor Blunt and the right-wing Republican state legislature recently passed a so-called voter identification bill. This bill will deprive us of our right to vote. When you elect me state senator, I will fight them in the state legislature and organize our community to remove them at the ballot box. Remember to punch number 28 on August 8th for Kenneth Jones for state senator.
Paid for by Citizens for Jones, Margo Deloche, treasurer.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brandt.
Do like a fly, sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even here. No one else want it. If I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Much, 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 much to talk about. Israel has suspended their bomb run, suspended it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing where we are? Isn't that amazing where we are? We're not at a ceasefire, even though 55 people, most of them children, were killed. That Condoleezza Rice could not even go into Lebanon. And on the front page of the USA Today, they're saying that this latest bombing that has killed sleeping families and mostly children hasn't ended it. That Israel is not saying that they are going to stop shooting. This isn't a ceasefire. We're just going to stop dropping bombs that the United States has provided us with. A state spokesman said that Israel would use pause to investigate the deaths and allow safe passage for residents who want to leave. Why should anybody have to leave their own country? Why should they have to leave? Why should anybody have to leave their own country? They haven't done anything. And now we have George Bush saying, we want to develop a resolution that will enable the region to have sustainable peace and a peace that lasts. Well, tell them to stop bombing and stop sending them bombs. You think that would help? Stop selling them. Stop giving them laser-guided missiles. That would help? There have been 458 civilian deaths. More children have died in this war than soldiers in uniform. Help me with this, because I can't decipher this. I can't unscramble this. I can't make this make sense. Israel's defense is that Hezbollah are using civilians as human shields. Huh? This was an apartment building. This is a three-story building where 55 people were living, most of them children. One 877-920-WGNU. And if this doesn't send an ice water chill through your body, here's what Israeli's UN ambassador said. When you sleep with a missile, sometimes you don't wake up in the morning. When you sleep with a missile, sometimes you don't wake up in the morning. One 877-920-WGNU.
Those are dead babies. They were sleeping with their mommies and daddies. That's who they slept with. And you're right, they didn't wake up in the morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz. There's a symmetry to this. Israel went in to Lebanon because it's the weakest Arab country, just like we went into Iraq for the same reason. No army, no power, no wealth. And it doesn't matter what condescending Rice or con artist Rice has said or says, Israel is just following our example. I guess there's one good thing to this, though. We are witnessing the destruction of the Republican Party, and it couldn't come to a better group of people. Thank you very much, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Thousands of angry Lebanese stormed the United Nations office in Beirut. Demonstrators surrounded the United Nations downtown headquarters. After they saw on television bodies of children, 30 children, 30 babies, 30 babies were killed. People threw rocks at the glass fronted building and chanted, death to America. Death to Israel. A few others ransacked the building, smashed windows. People also protested at the U.S. Embassy compound north of Beirut. These are horrific times. A Lebanese protester unfurled a banner of Condoleezza Rice that was attacked. The issue here, the question is one of diplomacy. Is this administration capable of diplomacy? Well, it has been said, this administration makes war and makes rhetoric. Makes war and makes rhetoric. How is this? A Sunni Muslim said he now backs the Shiite militant group in its fight against Israel. I'm not a Shiite, but I'm with Hezbollah. All the people in Lebanon are with Hezbollah and Lebanon. The world is clear. The United States was supposed to step in and stop this madness. They haven't. They didn't. And people are dying as a result of it. One eight seven seven nine twenty WGNU. We didn't start it, they said. We didn't start this war. But you say things like, if you sleep with missiles, you wake. Sometimes you don't wake up in the morning. 30 children? 30 children? 400 and something civilians? Aren't you going after the Hezbollah? Why are there so many dead babies? Oh, that's right. Collateral damage. That's right, I forgot. Bob.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I have this problem that I can't understand what people are using for brains anymore. This is supposedly a Christian nation. Bush is supposed to be such a Christian, and he's defying what God has said, that there would be wars and rumors of wars till the end of time. And he's demanding a lasting peace before they stop killing each other. Now, what can be his problem here? A lasting peace is something that is impossible. But he's going to do something that is contrary to his great religion. And all of these Christians can't seem to understand that if this is his policy in Lebanon, what is his policy in Iraq? It is the same policy that Arabs and Muslims, Sunnis, Shiites, we are going to stop them from killing each other.
Can I read you a line from an edit, from a letter to the editor in USA Today?
Please.
About this? Give war a chance. We must give Israel whatever it needs. Give war a chance.
It's impossible. I don't know what people are thinking, but this can't be done. How can the Israelis hold 7,000 prisoners today if they did not capture them? How can the Israelis have traded 6,800 prisoners for 27, and they didn't capture them? So how can they say this is something that these people started? This is just a part of this little war that they've been carrying on with each other for thousands of years.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
I'll be back. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Monday in the 8:45 time slot.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments, and I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I'd like to encourage you to find out who you are and be it on purpose without apology. I believe that there is great power and influence when we know who we are. When we understand the gifts and talents that we possess, we're able to make a strong and powerful impact on the world around us. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Joseph Palm, candidate for State Representative, 57th District. More experience in government than anyone in this race. More education than anyone in this race. And the only elected Democrat in this race. Don't settle for anything but the Palm. Punch 29 on Tuesday, August 8th. For more information, visit my website, joepalm.com.
When you vote for Palm, you're in good hands.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I've got a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith. We'll see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WG, and you get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hello.
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
This is Razu.
Yes.
Listen, you know it's ironic. Listen to this fiasco of nonsense going on in the East. And you hear constantly about the multiple amount of civilian personnel that's being slaughtered in that area. But you do not hear one time about the people whom the Israelis are supposed to be trying to stop attacking them, and that's Hezbollah. Not one time have you heard of how many deaths have been created or taken out against Hezbollah. Now, this is not making any sense to me. Perhaps you can tell me what it is that you think this is really going on here.
What do I think that is really going on?
Yeah.
Well, I think that what we have is a bunch of different things. I think that we have an America whose relationship with Israel is primary. We have an America that wants, I believe that there is profit in chaos. We have an America that is gaining profit by the chaos that is going on in Israel, or in Lebanon, as well as Palestine, as well as Iraq. I think that amidst all of the chaos that is going on right now, this government is gaining profit out of that. So,
go ahead.
Those are some of the reasons.
Well, listen. Now, this has been related to me by a very reliable source that America has received large quantities of oil into Texas out of Iraq. And that people who have high-paying jobs, execs and so on and so forth, have quit these jobs and have gone to Texas to work in the oil fields. But yet the price of gasoline is constantly on the incline.
Okay,
Liz.
All right,
thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget that you can always call at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't know. There's much money to. I am chilled by the letter to the editor in USA Today. Give war a chance. There's money to be made in war. The United States is planning a $4.6 billion sale in Middle East arms. Sale to the Middle East of arms, helicopters, missiles, warplanes, oil, or fuel for these planes. War is profitable. How sick and sad is that? War is profitable. This administration said after, they already said that they would sell Israel $2.10 million worth of aviation fuel. Now they want to sell $808 million in helicopter gunships. Black Hawk helicopters, $252 million. $48 million in anti-tank missiles, $2.9 billion to the Saudis, including 58 older generation helicopters. You want to know why war is profitable? In chaos, there is profit. In chaos, there is profit. 1-877-920. WGNU, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. It's just, it takes, honest to goodness, it takes your breath away. Honest to goodness. Barbara.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Yes, I was just listening to you, and I was listening to you about the weapon sales. I think that's just ridiculous, but at least this time if they sell all these weapons and they go looking for WMDs, they'll know where they are.
They've always known. You know, the irony is that they've always known where the weapons are, and they knew that they weren't where they said that they were.
Yeah, I realize that too.
These are horrific times.
You know what I saw this weekend that really hurt me? I looked at Condoleezza Rice, and it made me ashamed that she's so educated, and yet she said, "Oh, we will not consider calling off the violence until we know there's a lasting peace while children are being blown up, while everybody's being run out of their homes." And she sounded like she was trying to speak from a theatrical, like God or something. We won't. And I just thought that was so sad. It made me ashamed to be an African-American woman.
Oh, boy. No. Never let anybody let you be ashamed because they're doing something wrong. I think that...
But where did she go so wrong that she could just...
I think within every group of people, you always have somebody that goes wrong, but that doesn't have anything to do with you,
right,
in terms of the validity of who you are and who your people are. She's a bad apple in terms of the things that she advocates for and her ability and her role in the world. You know, it is contrary to everything that is valuable that you argue give war a chance.
That's so sad.
You know, so I ain't ashamed to be nothing. She's the one that's doing wrong.
Right, and America has so many blessings. It's the richest nation on the earth. It could be a great banner or a great example of peace in the world if they would advocate peace. I mean, we're the ones that have the upper hand of advocating peace, and we're going just the wrong direction.
Give war a chance. Thanks for your call, Barbara.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. Joe.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to you that I would recommend that you and all your listeners check out a movie called The Lord of War. It stars Nicolas Cage, and it's a good movie to help you understand how war is profitable. And that's all I have to say.
All right, thanks, Joe. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
How you doing, Liz?
Hi, good morning.
It's been a long time. This is what I want to talk about is you're talking about the children over there in whether Israel and Lebanon dying. They never talked about the ones that are in uniform over there in Iraq is dying for no reason. When I say kids, means inexperienced, even the young captains over there, just 90-day wanderers out of officers training school and just about thinking about making money, but we can't pay some vets downtown here putting up white tents across from the courthouse, and it's a damn shame here in America today that the veterans have been showed as like garbage on the street. And that's how we're treated today in this city.
No argument.
And I mean, and another thing too, and I ain't calling the names. I've been in this city all my life, Liz, and you've been here. How long you been in St. Louis?
Probably about 12 years or so.
And you know, it's embarrassing that a black woman as yourself, you've been so steadfast and stood your ground. And we got people come on here. I'm not one to call names, but I've seen them come and go, Liz, and I'll be 60 in November. But I ain't never seen nobody with the guts that you got will get up and do something about it and get out your own house. You don't have to, and beat these streets and try to put some sense, like Mr. Farrakhan said, in some of the minds of these people in Florida, Hines and Company. And this man right now, if I understand, they're trying to dig up some more stuff on him. So if he got any sense, he better go somewhere and sit down.
I would recommend that highly.
Because it's very ugly.
I would highly recommend.
I would go sit down and
folks to shut down.
Military kids, he wouldn't find that graduated Liz off his basketball team ain't doing jack.
I think that people who know what's gone on in their life,
mm-hmm,
and who've done bad things,
right,
need to shut up and move out the way because
no good deed.
That's fact. That's fact. Be
okay,
very careful.
Very close.
Very
that same
careful.
Day when he got fired, I was watching Channel 2 News. They said, "Oh yes, he's on the way to the studio," and they're laughing in his face. And as soon as it's messed up, they're gonna be the same people come around and talk about it.
Especially when stuff comes
that's
out.
That's right. They love it.
and Channel 2 News and American, and this is paper like that, that this American ain't nothing but the Post now. I don't really like it no more.
Isn't it fascinating that on the day of the biggest heat or the biggest tragedy, there's nothing on the front page of, about the power outage.
That's right.
How do you do that?
This is madness.
Thanks for your call, Ike.
Okay.
Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I see it, I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
stop resisting. For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice wants the UN Security Council to draft a ceasefire resolution to end the fighting between Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah militants. Israel has agreed to stop its airstrikes for the next 48 hours. More from ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent George Stephanopoulos.
A senior Israeli official I spoke to this morning said that the Israeli army hopes to have their ground operations done in Lebanon by Thursday morning. So that would pave the way for a ceasefire by Saturday if the UN can come to an agreement.
The BBC's Jim Muir got a look at the damage in Khanna, Lebanon, a day after an Israeli missile hit it.
Khanna itself, where there are many buildings like this one smashed down, but the difference being that this one had more than 60 people sheltering in the basement. Khanna is now virtually a ghost village. There are just very few people in a scene of complete desolation.
President Bush will talk about the Mideast crisis in a visit to Florida today. ABC's Ann Compton is there.
While President Bush waits for Secretary Rice's return, he's on a long-planned visit here to Miami to promote his domestic agenda, including a big speech on the economy at the bustling port of Miami. He also gets a tour of the National Hurricane Center in advance of the storm season, and he's raising money for the GOP. Ann Compton, ABC News, with the president in Miami.
The heat wave that broiled the West Coast is moving east. Highs today in Chicago and St. Louis could hover around 100 degrees. This Detroit resident says she's just not used to it.
It's miserable, I tell you. It's no cooling period. Even when you go inside the garage, it's still heat. Concrete heat up, oh, it's a murder.
Northeast, guess what? You're next. British Prime Minister Tony Blair's found a partner in California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in the fight against global warming. They plan to announce today the start of a program to keep carbon pollution down. Companies that find ways to minimize their emissions would be rewarded. ABC News Money Scope, Dow and NASDAQ down in early going. This is ABC News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the 10 million saved is 10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
You know, they say everything has its price, and someone might fork over a lot of cash for this. ABC's Chuck Sievertson explains.
A bullet taken from the ammo pouch of the University of Texas tower sniper Charles Whitman 40 years ago tomorrow fetched more than $250,000. The auction in Austin, Texas featured all sorts of Old West memorabilia, but the unfired bullet of Whitman's was bought by a New Yorker who collects assassination memorabilia. Whitman killed 15 and wounded 31 others from the UT tower before he was shot to death by two policemen. At the time, it was the largest mass murder in American history. A retired Austin cop, Gene Freudenberg, had the bullet in his desk drawer all these years. He intends to give some of the money to the Shriners Children's Hospital. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
So how about this? A do-it-yourself decaf kit. Yeah, scientists are working on a wand-like stick that you'll be able to plunge into your coffee, stir it up, and remove up to 70% of the caffeine. The trick, special polymers on the stick that grabbed up the hyped-up caffeine molecules out of the Joe. Stay tuned. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU news report is brought to you by Chamberlain College of Nursing. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. A St. Louis area man is dead after a single car crash over the weekend. The Missouri Highway Patrol reports 56-year-old Thomas Turner missed a curb on I-170 at Scooter Road Saturday evening and struck a bridge pier. Turner was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities say he was not wearing a seatbelt. Elsewhere, officials with the Humane Society of Missouri say the abuser of a severely injured chihuahua could be a threat to the community. Debbie Hill, the director of rescue and investigations for the Humane Society, says such violent behavior rarely stops with animals. Charlotte the Chihuahua was found last week with a hard plastic zip tie around her neck. Her head was swollen to the size of a grapefruit and she was unable to swallow. The Humane Society is offering a $2,500 reward for the arrest and conviction of the person responsible for injuring the dog. And finally, at this hour, Overland Police are among those who will be out tomorrow night for National Night Out. Corporal Scott Bartholomew of the Overland Police Department says the department is teaming up with the city of Charlac to host a picnic to give people a chance to meet neighbors and police. The picnic begins at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Norman Myers Park. The purpose of National Night Out is to show strength and unity in an effort to combat crime. And that's an update of WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Chamberlain College of Nursing. Advance your career today with Chamberlain College of Nursing, formerly Deaconess. Chamberlain has associate, bachelor's, and RN to BSN nursing degree completion programs. See chamberlain.edu. With a report of WGNU News for this hour, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Eastbound 70 at Salisbury, there's an accident. Two right lanes are closed. Eastbound 70 at 94, construction's going on. Left lane's closed. There's a number of area projects going on in the St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and the Metro East. As far as the construction work is going on, so just use caution. The main traffic tie-up at this hour is westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Roadway is reduced to two lanes onto the bridge, and that's causing some backups into St. Louis in the 9 o'clock hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for new spicy Southwest burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, spicy chipotle sauce. It's breakfast. Fire it up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Heat advisory is in effect through Wednesday. Otherwise, partly cloudy day, very hot, high around 100 this evening, clear and warm with a low around 80. Tuesday and Wednesday, pretty much the same, very hot both days, partly cloudy both days, highs in the 100s both days. All 3 days you could expect to see heat indexes above the 100 degree mark by the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies. Our current temperature is 88 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 89. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news traffic, your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome to Mondays at 9. My name is Liz Brown. I think that we need to take a look at, we've been looking at the what's going on in Iraq. We've been looking at what's going on in Lebanon. We've been looking at what's going on over in Connecticut with the battle between hopefully the defeat of Joe Lieberman and the winning of by Ned Lamont. But we need to take a little look north. We need to talk about other policies. That, I mean, when you take a look, from my perspective, when you take a look at the policies that have been initiated by this administration and embraced by this administration, they all seem to have as their bottom line money for somebody at the expense of all of us. Money for somebody at the expense of all of us. So let's take a look. Let's go a little north, if you don't mind. Let's take a look at the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, the North American Cooperative Security Act. To have that, to facilitate that conversation, we have joining us from Monaco, General Legal Counsel of the National Health Federation, Scott Tips. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And it's funny, you said it correctly both times because the Germans call it Monaco, and the other Europeans call it Monaco.
There you go. So I got it right at both
yeah.
accounts. So should Americans have a heads up on this? I mean, do you think Americans know about this act? And I'd like you to start with explaining what this act is.
Okay. The act is actually not even an act. It is a... It's not even a treaty. It's basically a handshake among three imperial leaders, that is Prime Minister Martin of Canada, the George Bush of the U.S., and Vicente Fox of Mexico, who decided, or whom told were to be deciding, to join together in a partnership. They call it a partnership to avoid a treaty or an act of Congress or the Senate. And they have decided to merge our countries into one big happy family called the North American Union, which is to be modeled on the European Union, where I'm at right now. And there are a lot of reasons why this isn't a good thing. and I'm happy to share those with you.
Well, and when you talk about this being a partnership that's not an act, it's not a piece of legislation, is that in itself an unusual thing? Has this happened before? These partnerships, have they occurred before?
Well, that's a very good question, Liz. Actually, they have occurred before, and sometimes for good, sometimes not so much for good. But almost always they were followed by, quickly on the heels of them, by the Senate ratification of a treaty, an act of Congress, like in the case of when Franklin Roosevelt did the Lend-Lease Agreement with the British to just prior to the U.S. entry into the Second World War. That was always confirmed immediately by Congress. And so it was always done under the color of law and the
expectation of law.
Yeah, expectation of law, the right of law. And mm-hmm. in this case, it's gone on for several years now, and not even the hint of going through the Senate, other than one bill, which is called Senate Bill 853, the North American Cooperative Security Act. And that's the only sign of it. But what they're doing is they're enacting the framework of this bill without even having passed the act in the Senate. So it's totally illegal.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'd like to talk about what it does, and then let's get to its illegality.
Okay.
I am talking to the General Legal Counsel of the National Health Federation, Scott Tipps. He's joining us from Monaco. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
At Holiday World, we keep our park as neat as a pin. And to prove it, Holiday World and Splash and Safari were once again voted the cleanest and friendliest parks in the world. And we have exciting world-class rides at Holiday World, including the new Voyage roller coaster. It's one of the tallest, fastest, longest coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number 2 rated water park in the world. Featuring 2 wave pools, 2 action rivers, enormous water slides, and special water play areas for the little ones. With 2 great parks for 1 price, there's never been a greater value for your family than Holiday World and Splash and Safari. We provide free unlimited soft drinks, free parking, even free sunscreen. And for smaller crowd sizes, visit us on a Sunday or a weekday.
Hey, Grandma, is this clean enough?
William, I'd say it's as neat as a pin.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number 1 for family fun. Open daily until August 20th.
Hello, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. When I first ran for office 2 years ago, I made a commitment to you. I said that I would see beyond and tear down the artificial barriers that hold our citizens back. I believe that elected officials should honor their commitments. And I believe that my record in Jefferson City proves that I've done just that. On the issue of education, I have consistently fought on the side of our children. When many in Jefferson City try to cheat our children by implementing school vouchers, I was not fooled when they try to pass it off as a scholarship bill. I helped gather other legislators on both sides of the aisle. We worked long and hard, and we were finally successful in defeating this wicked school voucher bill. There is more to be done, because they will be back to try to cheat our children again next year. So on August 8th, vote for Maria Chappelle Nadal, State Representative, 72nd District.
Paid for by Citizens for Maria Chappelle Nadal, Neva Taylor, Treasurer. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Your hearts can go their way. Can't put it off another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I am talking to Scott Tipps. He is the General Legal Counsel of the National Health Federation. He's joining us from Monaco to talk about this so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Welcome back, Scott.
Thank you, Liz, very much. Thanks for letting me be on your show.
My pleasure. Now tell us about that. What we should be concerned about aside from the illegality of, what are some of the specifics within this act that we should be concerned about?
Well, the specifics are it will take away our sovereignty. And the reason, of course, it's nice to be in one big happy family if we can, but do we really want to downgrade down to the lowest common denominator? That's the shame here, because what they are planning to do is, through the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, they are following the game plan of the Council of Foreign Relations, which set forth a plan some years ago, and they've even published it in a book form, 175-page book, that basically calls for the establishment by the year 2010 of a North American Economic and Security Community, which would be called the North American Union. And it is following that game plan exactly. And it will expand upon it as well. Now, why is this a bad thing to take away our sovereignty? It's not just because we like all being Americans and that sort of thing and wave the flag. It's because there are obviously, and longer than we have for your program, there are a lot of rights that we enjoy here that are not enjoyed elsewhere. Now, Canada is perhaps closer to our nature of rights, but even they have weird things like you can't even put a picket sign in your front lawn without it being approved by the government if it's dealing with politics. And we just don't have that kind of thing here. And even though things have gotten a bit worse, in my opinion, we still have far more freedoms here that we enjoy than the Canadians do or the Mexicans do. If we join together with them, I can pretty much bet that we will not be upgrading them to our system. Rather, we will be downgrading our system to theirs. That's what's so dangerous about it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what it will also do is, in the same way that NAFTA has taken is a step on the road to taking, this is a North America Free Trade Agreement from 10 years ago, actually 12 years ago at this point, and then the more recently passed last year, and actually it was passed illegally as well, the Central American Free Trade Agreement a year ago this month, they have started to put power in the hands of unelected, distant bureaucrats, not accountable to you or me.
I guess when we look at what's happening across the world, Scott, in terms of the implementation of some of these acts that you're talking about, NAFTA and CAFTA, that's one of the reasons that we've seen the upheaval in Mexico that's going on right now and all across Latin America, because the citizens don't like the results of these acts.
That's correct. They've been touted and framed as free trade when in fact they're nothing close to free trade. They're managed trade. If it was truly free trade, you wouldn't need a 300, 400 page document to tell you that. You could say it in a short number of pages that henceforth all tariffs are abolished or lowered. That's all it would take. But this is managed trade. So it's really typically what happens these days is they give a pretty name to a particular piece of legislation.
No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, No Child Left Behind, the Let's Put a Piece of Bread in Everyone's Pocket Act of 2006. You know, you name the most ridiculous names you can think of, they put them on there because they think that Americans will just read that and then they'll go along with the act. So what we need to do is not buy into that propaganda, but rather look behind the facade and see what's really happening. And that's what's happening here. They have the same kind of name, Security and Prosperity Partnership.
It sounds wonderful.
It does. It sounds so good you want to go out and embrace it.
Get it on a T-shirt.
Put it on a T-shirt. It's right. But in fact, what you find is it's the government trying to keep itself in power, and it will do so through these big business contacts they have, and it's not to benefit you or me, although they say it is, but it's to benefit the people who are already in power and their big buddies that they do secret deals with behind closed doors. And this is precisely why the government does nothing about illegal immigration. If you want proof as to why Bush is not going to do anything, or the Democrats for that matter either, about illegal immigration in this country, it's because this is proof of it. They already know they're going to join the countries together. So why bother putting troops on the border? Why bother building a wall? when you're going to all be one big country anyway. It's a waste of money and time in their eyes.
Well, let's talk about, let's do some bread and butter stuff. Let's talk about dietary supplements, what this act would do to that.
Thank you. Yeah, because that's our organization, the National Health Federation, which, by the way, is the oldest health freedom organization for consumers in the world. We've been around 51 years now, and I'm privileged to be their legal counsel, and I attend the Codex meetings that occur, the Codex Alimentarius meetings that are taking place in Europe on the subject of dietary supplements, and have been going for the last 6 years to the meeting. The National Health Federation has been sending me, and we're the only voice for health freedom amongst nonprofit organizations at these meetings. Interestingly enough, South Africa is the other voice for health freedom at these meetings. But
how odd is that?
Oh, I know, that's very odd, but it is true. And so this is a long-winded way of answering your question, which is to say that this is also part of the plan of integrating us worldwide into this one-size-fits-all framework whereby we get dumbed down to the level of dietary supplements sold throughout the rest of the world, where they treat them as drugs if they have a potency higher than, well, in the case of niacin, it would be about 14 milligrams. So, and normally if you go into your local health food store, you'll find it for 500 milligrams for niacin, just as an example. And then you see that's what's happening with this Security and Prosperity Partnership. As a spinoff from that, they have what's known as the Trilateral Cooperation Charter. And the Trilateral Cooperation Charter is the lower agency equivalent of what Bush and Fox and Martin did in Waco, Texas, when they met and shook hands that day in 2003. In 2004, the heads of the agencies of the FDA and the FDA equivalents in Mexico and Canada shook hands and said, hey, we're going to do everything together from here on out. And why is that important? Well, the U.S. is the only country in the world, truly, the only country in the world that gives us the freedom to take the supplements and vitamins that we want. I mean, it shouldn't be giving us. We earned it. We deserve it. But the fact of the matter is imperfect as our system is, you look out at the rest of the world, as I do, because I'm out there a lot in the rest of the world. That's why I'm calling you from Europe right now. And you see that there are so many restrictions. There are things you can't even get here in France. For example, in France, you can't import Red Bull because it has the amino acid L-taurine in it. So if you were to try to get a can of Red Bull drink, energy drink, you just can't buy it. It's illegal to buy that here because of that amino acid in there. So what we at NHF are trying to do is prevent that from happening, that kind of thing from happening in the U.S. And this Trilateral Cooperation Charter is a spinoff of the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and what they're trying to do is dumb down everything so that we merge together and we all enjoy the same rules about dietary supplements that Mexico and Canada have. And we all know how corrupt Mexico already is. Do we really want that here?
Well, and in terms of some specificness of it, so the vitamin C that I go out and I buy today, are you saying that as a result of this agreement, I would have to get a prescription in order to get that dietary supplement?
Well, I wouldn't go that far just yet, but let me put it this way. It's the first steps on the path to that road. Because what happens, what I've found, and that's why I mentioned the Codex meeting, because these all...
Well, explain to the audience what Codex is.
Codex is... Codex Alimentarius is just the Latin word for food code. And it was started by the United Nations in 1963 to uniform and make very easy trade amongst all the UN nations, especially all the signatories to what later became the World Trade Organization. But it really didn't do too much until the 90s. Then in the 90s, they started doing some things like adding in coverage for dietary supplements. In other words, the host country, it take me a very long time to explain it all, but just in a nutshell, the host country in this case for dietary supplements is Germany. Germany is very anti-dietary supplements. They are so controlled by the pharmaceutical and drug industry, it's not even funny. That's why you find a pharmacy every 3 feet you walk there. And so they run the show there, and I've had knock-down, drag-out fights with the chairman, who's a German, and with the European Union representative, but what they want to do is take away the competition of dietary supplements from the drug industry, because the up-and-coming competition to the drug industry are natural products, vitamins, minerals, supplements, herbs, and that sort of thing. If they can treat them like drugs, then dietary supplements will become more expensive, less available, and fewer people will use them. And yet, vitamins and minerals are amongst the safest things you can take. They are safer, far safer than drugs. They're even safer than food. In fact, you're more likely to die from a bee sting or a lightning strike than you are from taking a dietary supplement. Yet, you don't realize that from listening to most media, your program excepted. You will hear how awful they are, because who does the most advertising?
The pharmaceutical.
Yeah, the pharmaceutical.
And we have to take a break. Scott Tipps, General Counsel of the National Health Federation, joining us from Monaco. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at Letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to Letstalk17.com. That's Letstalk17.com.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Son, what you don't understand, my words might never explain, so I am hoping that time will. Things may not go as you planned, dark clouds might bring you pain.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest of this hour is Scott Tipps. He's the General Legal Counsel of the National Health Federation. He's joining us from Monaco. And, Scott, we've talked about the codex component of this. We talked about the dietary supplement component of this. One of the claims is that if this is allowed to continue, it will mean more surveillance and more controls over law-abiding citizens. Explain.
It will, and it will be done by people that you and I haven't elected, which is one of the worst aspects of it. But it will, in the sense that I can speak from the dietary supplement end of things. It will mean more review and regulation of actually an industry that's already fairly well regulated and has an exceedingly safe history of use and has an exceedingly safe good safety record, let me put it that way. And so what will happen in terms of more controls and oversight of individuals is just what we're already seeing. That is, you already have a lot of government investigation of financial records, controls on travel, leaving the country, being able to pull you off a plane if you're on a no-fly list, that sort of thing. Is that pretty much what you're getting at
right.
here in terms of... Yes, and a lot of it, the worst aspect of it, and this is what's so sinister about this Security and Prosperity Partnership, is that it's done, a lot of it is done not by rule of law, but rule of man, and it's very arbitrary, and without any sense of accountability. There's a very good book called Integrating the Americas, FTAA, the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas and Beyond, and came out a couple of years ago from actually Harvard University. But it has one aspect of it where it talks about these trade laws, basically. They say, in this case, it's talking about the FTAA. It is not transparent. It lacks due process, does not have to follow precedent, is presided over by arbitrators selected on an ad hoc basis, cannot provide for continuity and competence in subject matter, and is not politically accountable. And that's what we want to try to avoid, because that, with that, will go all of our remaining freedoms.
And when we talk about this so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, you started the show by talking about its illegality. Can we talk some more about that? How is this illegal, and what is being done to challenge its illegality?
It's illegal because... basically, it's a treaty, and under the U.S. Constitution, a treaty must be submitted to and approved by the U.S. Senate, and this has never been submitted. Now, they do have the Senate Act 853.
That's the North American Cooperative Security Act.
Correct, mm-hmm. And our lobbyist, Lee Bechtel in Washington, I just asked him for a status report just today before your program, just to be sure I had it straight. And he checked on it, and the latest news is that Senate 853 just has six co-sponsors and is still pending before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It does have a companion bill in the House, but it only has two co-sponsors and is still pending. Now, unless they try to sneak it through like they do with a lot of this legislation at the last minute in a lame duck session, such as just before Christmas, it's not going to pass this year. But what's so insidious about this, too, and I probably keep using that word because I'm so upset by all of this, is that this act, the government, the Bush administration, and the blame is falls equally on both houses, the Republicans and Democrats, they're acting as if this is almost already law. That's why you have Bush and Fox and Martin shaking hands, and that's why you have the FDAs of all three countries already plotting how to act, and in fact already acting. They already did these joint raids on these supposedly scam weight loss products, some of which may have been scams, but some of which probably weren't.
And well, they did it under the authority of this Security and Prosperity Partnership?
No.
What did they do it under the authority of?
They just claim that they have their own authority to do this, which is totally wrong. And if you go to the FDA website, as I've done, and it's very easy to do, FDA.gov, you can look this up on their little search engine there. But basically, they're just saying they have the right to do it, period. I wrote an article that just appeared in Whole Foods Magazine, which goes to the industry, the dietary supplement industry, which, by the way, the NHF does not represent. We represent consumers, so we don't have a financial interest in dietary supplements. We just happen to believe we should have the right to take them. But what is so awful about this is that these people, and why this is illegal, is they're acting, they violated several things. They violated the Administrative Procedures Act in the case of the FDA. That is where they have to follow certain set procedures of public and congressional notification in a very strict timeline, Liz, before they can put out their rules and regulations. They didn't do that with this trilateral cooperation charter that they've been acting under. Another thing they haven't done is they've been, actually this is totally illegal, they've been sharing private information about American citizens with the Canadian and Mexican governments. And they pretend that they've done this pursuant to a statement of confidentiality, but in fact, that doesn't, the law they invoke or reference or cite doesn't even cover that type of action that they've done.
What kind of information are they sharing?
Well, in the case of these weight loss companies, they're sharing all sorts of private information on the individuals involved.
Like what?
Where they live, who they are, their identities, and their interests in the companies. Any of that information that they obtain privately, they cannot share legally with a foreign entity or a foreign agent without proper procedure. And in this, which is specifically set forth under communications with foreign government officials, that's under 21 CFR section 20.89. And the FDA is claiming this is their cover. In fact, that only deals with public information, not with non-public information. And then the other thing is they're violating the Federal Advisory Committees Act, FACA, which mandates that there's supposed to be public access to the minutes of the meetings and actions of these government agencies. And that's not happened here either. In fact, an individual that we work with very closely on these things, John Hamill, has submitted an FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, to the FDA. And together with him, the NHF has just gotten a letter together from certain congressmen to submit to the FDA, asking them why on earth they are doing this thing, and to provide the justification for these actions under the so-called Trilateral Cooperation Charter, that is the agreement to create a mechanism for the three countries' food, drug, and advertising agencies to coordinate their activities together.
So if they are violating all of these different acts, are there lawsuits? I mean, they're violating the Administrative Procedural Act. Is there a lawsuit to challenge this?
There's no lawsuit at present. There could be one if the people wanted to. In fact, I even mentioned in my article, I thought the weight loss companies had a very good lawsuit that they could sue, that they could bring against FDA for sharing private information with the Mexican and Canadian government officials. So there's no reason they could not do that. And then in terms of U.S. citizens taking action, I think the best step is to write your congressman or congresswoman and ask him or her to call the FDA on the carpet, and probably to contact Representative Ron Paul's office, because he's already doing this, but it doesn't hurt to add more fuel to the fire, to call Ron Paul's office. He's a representative in Texas, just sort of southeast of the Houston area, and to get all the information from him. Or people could go to our website, www.thenhf, for our initials, National Health Federation, .com. So www.thenhf.com. And they can get information on what to do. But basically, it's probably to get congressional oversight at this time.
Well, okay. The North American Cooperative Security Act, Senate Bill 853, doesn't have that many sponsors. And the House companion House Bill, or House 2672, it doesn't have very many sponsors either.
Right.
Now, that legislation that's lying in wait, does it simply codify this the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, or does it enhance it in ways that makes it worse?
Well, that's an excellent question, and to be honest with you, I don't know if I have the full answer right now. Maybe no one really does except the bill's proponents. But basically it would enhance it, because one, it would give a legal color of law to what they've been doing. But I think it still doesn't go as far as they want to take it. What they usually do is salami slices. And when I say they, I mean like what happened with NAFTA. Originally, we just had NAFTA. That's all we heard about. And we heard about NAFTA and how good it would be, and that was it. We didn't know that CAFTA was in the works, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, or the FTAA, the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, nor did most Americans know that the Codex Alimentarius type garbage is lurking out in the distance either. So what we see here is a plan that's following step by step by step, and we're being shown certain pages as we're coming to it. And so we're at the page now where you see Senate Bill 853. So will that enhance that? No, I think it enhances it legally, but it's just revealing another page or another chapter in this whole book that's unfolding in front of us. And the ultimate aim is to create the North American Union that will eventually, as a block, not now, not tomorrow, maybe not even in 10 years' time, but when some emergency happens, whether it's manufactured or real, then it will merge with the European Union. It will merge elsewhere. Now, you know, why is that such a bad thing?
Well, hold on to that thought. Right. We have to take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back to why that's such a bad thing. Scott Tipps, General Legal Counsel of the National Health Federation, joining us from Monaco. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Monday in 9:45 time slot.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920, WGNU.
Did you know that we have one of the highest unemployment rates, no hospitals in Normandy, and failing schools within the 71st District? Henry Awenifu wants to change this landscape. We can no longer continue to vote for candidates who will not fight for the basic needs in our community. On August 8th, vote for Henry Awenifu, a candidate who will fight to restore our community's landscape like he did as trustee for the village of Uplands Park.
This ad was paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Awenifu.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Mondays at 9. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to the General Legal Counsel, Scott Tipps, of the National Health Federation. He's joining us from Monaco. And we are talking about the so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America and its companion pieces in the Congress, the North American Cooperative Security Act, that's Senate 853, House 2672. Scott, welcome back. We stopped you in the middle of a thought of why it won't work.
Well, why the Security and Prosperity Partnership will not work?
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
yes.
All right. Well, basically, I'm sorry, I started looking at some other thoughts before during the break. In any event, the Security and Prosperity Partnership is intended to bring in a whole slew of obligations as well on the American population. The documents, security cooperation, the security component of it, for example, includes the registration of ballistics and explosives. So they're doing that as part of their security thing. This gets to your point about controls. And, of course, if this is truly protecting us, then it might be a good thing. But then why does Canada specifically refuse to cooperate with our strategic defense initiative? So in a lot of ways, it's a one-way street. For example, this plan calls for massive U.S. foreign aid to other countries. again, the burden is on us, the taxpayers, to make these payments, including long-term loans in pesos and a North American investment fund to send U.S. private capital to Mexico. Basically, it will be us funding a lot of other activities that we already need the money here. In fact, why? I mean, we haven't even secured our own borders. We're more concerned with securing the borders of Iraq than we are with our own borders in the South.
Well, and I guess, let me ask this question. Given the fact that we do have this bill sitting in Congress, House Bill 2672 and Senate 853, what is the support that it has? I mean, shouldn't I am surprised since Congress did support CAFTA, since Congress did support NAFTA, why isn't this bill moving faster through?
Well, there's been increasing resistance from American people to it, and the congressmen who are more accountable to their voters than are the senators tend to feel the heat. You know, they always say the politicians don't see the light, they just feel the heat. So they need to feel the heat, and this is why I would tell all the listeners that are listening to your program today to be persistently vocal. And I use that phrase, persistently vocal. That is, don't just send one letter, don't just make one call, don't send one email, don't send one fax. Do all of the above. And don't do it once. Do it four times. Do it five times. Be so persistently vocal. They get sick and tired of you, and they don't want to act against your interests because they just want to keep from having to hear from you. And if everyone did this, then we would shut this down. I'm very proud of your two senators, Senator Bond and Senator Talent, who voted against that stupid Senate Bill 2611, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of 2006, which is nothing but a welfare act. And they were one of only 36 senators who voted against it. So in terms of this 853, I hope they will also vote against it. And perhaps your listeners could write them ahead of time, even though it's still in the committee, and just tell them, we're against Senate Bill 853, and we hope you will stand by us and vote against it.
What would happen if the bills don't pass?
Well, if the bills don't pass, they'll just keep reintroducing them. So we have to. That's the tough
I mean,
part.
What will stop? What will stop? Since you're saying that actions are still taking place with the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, things are moving ahead. So what if 853 is not passed or 2672? So what if they're not passed?
Well, that's an excellent question. It seems like you're really getting to another point, which is what can we do to roll things back? Because if they're already acting as if 853 is passed, and what's to keep them from keep acting that way so long as it doesn't pass? Is that pretty much
yes.
what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then in that case, and what people have been doing is contacting those pro-liberty congressmen and women, particularly, quite honestly, I haven't found the equivalent in the Senate. The Senate is pretty much a hopeless cause, except from time to time you do have senators such as your own Missouri senators who stood by their guns, and I'm very proud of them for that, but they need to do more, and it will take the voters to get them to do more. So what I would recommend is that people support congressmen, even if it's not your congressman or woman, but congressmen who are members of the Liberty Committee. There's a special group, a small group of about 17 congressmen. I wish it were more. It's around 17 called the Liberty Committee, and if they did a Google search on it, they could probably see whom. It's led by Ron Paul, who is a long, hardcore, pro-U.S. Constitution congressman, and he's my congressman, by the way, even though I'm not in his district. I call him my congressman because he's the one that votes my way almost every single time, and he's very pro-American, very let's have a rule of law by the U.S. Constitution, more freedoms for Americans, not less, and get them to introduce legislation that could be supported by your senators and congressmen to then pass the House and the Senate that would require that one thing they could do is to require no funding go to any actions taken under the Security and Prosperity Partnership. That's a very common way the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives in particular will prevent some law from going into effect.
They'll kill it by funding it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. by defunding it, mm-hmm. yes. And so that's one way to do it. But it does take being persistently vocal. And the other thing to be aware of, it's very easy for the government to scare Americans with a, quote, big emergency. So I would anticipate that at some point in the near future there will be another 9/11 type big emergency that will come down the road, come down the pike, and is meant to scare everyone into the anti-freedom arms of the government. Let us take care of you, just the way we did that. I say it jokingly, just the way we did when 9/11 happened and all of that. Yeah, they really protected us then. And so to be aware, to be mentally prepared that this big emergency will happen, and not to be stampeded into the arms of some anti-freedom legislation like what happened after 9/11.
Like what continues to happen.
And thank you. Actually, you're right. And what continues to happen virtually every year.
Well, in terms of how are Canadian citizens responding to this? Is there a disconnect between what their government wants and what the citizens wants on this issue? Are they aware of what this means?
Yes, I think they are. There's some very good pro-freedom Canadians up there, and I can kind of say this because my grandfather was Canadian, and so I have some claims on Canadian knowledge, but unfortunately they've been more inculcated, more imbued with a sense of the government knows what's right. So they have less a sense of freedom than we do here, unfortunately. But they're still, especially in the western provinces, they are very hardcore pro-freedom people, and they've started a few groups to fight this.
So in terms of the next year, what are the things that people should be keeping a heads up for?
Well, next year what I would rather expect is that unless this Senate Bill 853, the North American Cooperative Security Act, gets passed sneakily in the dead of night, say Christmas Eve of this year, then it will be reinstituted next year, reintroduced next year, and they will make a big major league push to get it passed. So we should look for that. We should look for the, quote, big emergency that will come down. I can't tell you what it would be, but because I don't know any more than you do, but it'll be something, and that will be pointed to as a reason for security between us. The other thing that we need to look out for is all of these fake immigration bills coming out of the Senate, especially, that will be used as a cover also for enhancing and promoting the Security and Prosperity Partnership and promoting an integration with these other countries. You know, if we could integrate with the other countries under American law, I'd probably be in favor of it if there were a way to do it and not have them vote changes in our own laws. But what's being proposed is going to result in us being, and already is resulting in us being, just sort of like a northern Mexico, which is not what I want, and probably not what your listeners want either.
Well, in terms of your website, where can people go to find the National Health Federation website?
Hey, just go to NHF, our initials, National Health Federation.com. So www.thenhf.com.
Go ahead.
Just click on the government affairs section, and it will take them to a lot of different areas on these laws.
Scott Tipps, General Legal Counsel of the National Health Federation, thank you so much for joining me on the wake-up call this morning.
Thank you, Liz, so much.
Take care now. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Tomorrow, the new interim superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools, Diana Barroso, will be joining me in the studio at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. You don't want to miss that. We have all kinds of great things coming at you this week. It's the last full week before the elections. My goodness. It's just happened, hasn't it?
come up on us really quickly. But you don't want to miss the show tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. The new interim superintendent, Diana Barrasso, will be joining me on the wake-up call. We've got lots of questions for her, lots of questions, I'm certain, from you all. So prepare. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers. How
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny.